This is The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. And by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rate it the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 The Game. All unaccounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I got to give you credit, though. You do catch yourself.
I do. I don't know. And you know what? It's so funny. I catch myself. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying, but I know I'm saying something wrong. So I just say, I better stop. Well, I know something's wrong.
I said a week and a half ago when we made the announcement of the change that the word point was going to be the issue.
Exactly. What genius thought that up?
Probably you.
Probably me. I need a smoothie. Real, yeah.
What?
I need like a strawberry banana
Where
smoothie.
Does stuff come out?
Why? Those are one. They're delicious.
Yes, that's true.
Two. I'm feeling a little, you know, a little down. I need a, like a little energy boost or something like
there's
that.
There's 8,000 calories of chocolate cookies in the lobby.
I don't want to be like you. You know, just fill my face full of chocolate
that's
and then
great.
That false energy stuff. I want, you know, a nice smoothie would be good. Strawberry banana and. Put all those, you know, put all the stuff in it. And let's go.
I don't think smoothies are really energy boosting. There's no caffeine in them.
No, but they're good.
If you ascribe to the caffeine theory,
you're drinking Mountain Dew.
I had last night's mac and cheese, and I had Mountain Dew and a half a cookie. Yes, that was my lunch.
Do you believe that Mountain Dew gives you energy?
I think it does.
There's a lot of caffeine in there.
Yeah, but do you believe that works?
I believe I like the taste of it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I can't say that I, you know, have a caffeine, complete caffeine tolerance. I don't drink coffee. I'm sure if you gave me the world's strongest cup of coffee, I'd feel it. But I can tell you, soda has zero impact on me.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I just know I like the taste of it early. Because, you know, your throat is kind of parched.
That's probably the worst thing you can do for yourself is to drink Mountain Dew at 4 a.m.
Well, granted, it is always diet Mountain Dew. Let's get this straight. There are
I didn't mean to paint you as a bad person.
I'm putting in no calories.
Goodness. Well, Brady, what do you drink in the morning if you don't drink?
Sometimes I'll have water, sometimes I'll have milk, and sometimes I'll have juice. Rarely will I have soda, like, before 10 a.m.
Oh, I have to have it. Tastes so good at 4 a.m.
When I used to work at 6 a.m., though, I do remember a day where I had Skittles and Mountain Dew at about 7:30.
Yes.
Because 7:30 felt like noon to me when I worked at 6.
Pure sugar. I mean, I know people that have 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee before they even go to work.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how does anybody do that? I would be literally bouncing off the walls.
Well, it's those, you know, the cappuccino with a shot of this, a shot of that. I mean, that will bounce off the walls. Too much like that.
Oh, well.
Brady, you weren't at hoops yesterday.
No, I was not, and it sounds like I made the right choice.
You know, you figure everybody was nice at the beginning. Hey, how was your summer? You know, that didn't last long.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe, about a minute.
Maybe it's me.
That's because the punks go on Monday.
No, there was no punks there. This is our usual friend crowd. I'm serious. I mean, there was only like about 15 guys there. And it's the same 15 guys we usually play with. And one other new guy. That was, of course, him and I are already battling.
Yeah, of course.
I got to tell you, I think, you know, because we got in a little bit of an argument last night. Always about, you know, fouling.
What's the score and don't call the foul?
No, because
it was out of bounds.
One guy traveled, took like 5 steps.
Yes.
By the way, they made the court bigger. I want you to know that.
Really?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, school's been under construction, hasn't it?
Yeah, the court is bigger.
Good. Nice. We need that. Weed out the people who are out of shape.
You can actually shoot from the 3-point line from the corner now.
Good.
So we're playing and, you know, you could tell that, you know, some guys are getting a little physical. The new guy, the bald-headed guy, Baldy.
Like you.
Yeah, yes. I could see that they were going to lob a pass in them because he was, you know, backing me down pretty hard. But I went around him and I was going to actually pick off the ball. He put his arm up by my throat, you know?
Okay.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, but I don't say anything. You know, I say nothing. I call traveling on one person and it was like, I'm the worst guy in the world. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. People get so sensitive out there, but I'm talking a lot of smack this year.
I get sensitive, too, when people don't know the rules. Oh. I get sensitive about that. Oh. When you don't know that you need to dribble to advance the ball, that makes
me upset,
too.
Somebody did something absolutely horrible yesterday. I hate when they do this. It's like my number one pet peeve. I don't want to say their name.
Why are you telling them? Now they'll do it every time.
Well, because I'm not going to say
it
his name.
It was probably no D-Rob.
No, it was Matt Burns. But okay. What happened was, you know what I love is when I call traveling, he goes, fine, we'll just start calling. Oh, if that's the way you want to be. So one of our guys, of course, traveled badly, too.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. So he goes, look, he's traveling. Meanwhile, they steal the ball and they come down to try to shoot a layup. Well, you're making a call. You're not making a call, knucklehead.
Exactly.
I want to punch people in the face sometimes
there. Well, it sounds like you practically have.
I think I'm going to have to.
I can't wait to be back tomorrow.
Will they call a foul if you punch someone in the face?
I don't know.
Are there any refs in this foolishness?
No, there's no refs.
So you're all it's just the Wild West.
And by the way, how many times is Big Frank going to text me that he's going to show up?
Big Frank. Not Big Dave.
Big Dave. Because yesterday he was on there. He's like, are you going tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, you're going to be there? He goes, I'm showing up. Guess who didn't show up?
Big Dave.
Big Dave didn't
I guess
show
he's
up.
Still recovering from the hot dog eating contest where he also had a subpar performance.
Oh, I thought he was recovering from his ACL from 10 years ago. Unbelievable. You know, yuck, yuck, yuck. You know, Rich, I think you're going to have to Facebook Live us on Wednesday.
I can't even watch that. Yeah. A bunch of grown men acting like idiots.
I want to know who the D-bag is. It could be me or it could be everybody else. I've got to know. That way people could watch it live and then write in their comments as it's going on so I can know. You know, I had one guy just standing out of bounds. He had no idea. He was just I couldn't even call it because everybody just yells at me. I go, I need you to film this on Wednesday. I need you to get an intern or you do it, Rich. I need it done Facebook Live so you can see what I'm talking about. So people can see that it's not me. It's all these knuckleheads I play with.
Well, if I can have someone have a camera, I can do this.
You do the phone.
You have a phone.
Yeah, but that'll burn up all of my minutes.
I'll give
it?
You my phone, okay?
All right, I'll do
Brand new iPhone 1. Okay?
All right, and I'm not allowed to participate if the punches start flying?
No, you film.
Just film what's going on. As a neutral party.
Believe me, I don't need you jumping in. I'll take care of myself.
You're like TMZ, Rich.
That's right.
You're there to get the scoop.
Get the scoop. Don't stop filming. Keep it. And that way, we'll see who's tough when I put this on Facebook Live, maybe of a quarter of a bill watching any time per month. And then we'll see how tough everybody is then, huh? I got so aggravated yesterday.
How many times a week is this going to be? Are you playing?
At least two.
At least two. And
so this is now Monday through Friday for the next 6 months.
No, it ends in June, so it's nothing big.
It's time for the huddle, but first, today's update on who punched whom.
Brady, what do we got going on today?
Well, we got trivia tonight over at the Burger Bar in Colchester, thanks to Two Roads Brewing. $2.50 for 16-ounce cans, $4 for drafts. We will be there 7:30 to 9:30. Great prizes, a ton of fun. We do it every single week, 7:30 to 9:30, at the Burger Bar in Colchester. In fact, we love the Burger Bar so much.
Yeah.
We're actually going there twice this week. We got trivia tonight, and you will not want to miss this either.
Yes.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sunday,
we are watching football at the Burger Bar in Colchester. We had a great event over at RJ's last week. We're taking the show on the road. The Huddle Football Tour continues on this Sunday. At the Burger Bar, we'll be watching the Patriots and Jaguars. 4:25 is the kickoff. It's the premier game on the schedule this week. We're watching it. The Burger Bar has half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials, $2 Coors Light specials.
Hello.
We're giving away a Coors Light, get this, Rich, a custom keg grill.
that covers everything.
Yes, we are giving away a custom keg grill. So you come out, watch the ultimate football game with us, the ultimate football party, and win yourself the ultimate tailgate equipment.
Well, I have a few restrictions, too, for that, by the way.
And we're also getting 4 qualifiers for Patriots tickets.
Oh.
So Sunday, Burger Bar, 4:25, Colchester, be with us, and you get a chance to see the best game on the schedule and win just about everything there is to win.
What does a keg grill look like, and how does it operate? Is it what it sounds like?
I have a picture of it. I'll have to tweet it out.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll have to tweet it out.
That sounds like a dream come true.
And by the way, a couple of restrictions. First of all, no whiny, sniveling Patriot fans.
Oh, okay? Please. There's no such thing, Arnie.
Oh,
how about just everybody?
I thought you were going to say, oh, then you know what? They're all like that. I say, fine. All the whinies. You know, and restriction number two. I don't want to hear you crying when Jacksonville jumps out to a 21-3 lead, okay? Matter of fact, I'm probably going to get in your grill, all right?
Your keg grill?
You're not allowed to leave if the Patriots are losing until the bitter end, okay? So I'm going to block the exit.
Right. Well, right? I can't be there. So.
And four, I'll be announcing the score of the game every 5 seconds. Ugh. if Jacksonville's winning. So that's some of the restrictions, Rich, if you're going to come watch it with me.
You do realize that 90% of the people who are going to be there are probably Patriots fans, and you just drove them away.
No,
that's not how it works.
They're
going
to want to try to shove it in my face because they actually think the Patriots are winning. They're not going to win. I don't want everybody coming out going, oh, this sucks. The Patriots are losing and Arnie's making it worse.
Right. You mean
I
like
don't want
me?
To hear that. Yeah, like you.
That's me. I can't even be in public anymore during Patriots games. Yeah. I can't.
So I don't want to hear you crying when the Patriots, I don't need to hear you crying for 3 hours when the Patriots are losing.
Or how about you just come and annoy the hell out of Arnie and we fill the burger bar.
Right.
And you come out and try to win the custom keg grill. How about that?
If the Patriots up by 2 touchdowns, I'm leaving. I'll sneak out the back door.
That's right. You can dish it out, but you can't take it. Sort of like your basketball game.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm a little worried that Leonard Fournette's not there. But
Well, we'll
just
see.
Just a little bit worried there.
That will make a difference.
I had the Patriots losing by 100. Now it's a little bit closer.
47.
Not good. Well,
47.
Maybe not that close. So we'll see.
I agree there's a chance they may lose this game, one of the two or three they'll lose this year.
You know what? You better pack that burger bar so I can see. I want 1,000 people there, 999 Patriot fans and myself.
And the scary thing is, folks, he means that.
I do mean that.
You just thrive on
we'll
this
pack
stuff.
It in, and I will sit in the middle. I wear like a Jacksonville jersey.
There's a lot of those around.
Surrounded by a bunch of Patriot fans. And all I hear is, did you park the car? Where'd you park the car? And I hear
they don't talk like that here, for the most part.
They don't do that here?
Well, you can usually tell a Flatlander by the way he talks.
They don't have too many Boston fans. I need too many Boston accents here.
No, not a lot.
It's more Canadian accents than
you're
here.
You're such an insider.
All right, go
ahead. Mistake
of
the day, if you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for today, Matt Patricia, a rough debut, to say the least, in Detroit. Former Patriot and Super Bowl champion, multi-time, Willie McGinnis, former Pats linebacker at 420. He joins us. Tom Karen of Nesson at 5 o'clock. The Patriots make a move to bolster the wide receiver crew. But, guys, before we get into any of that, today is September 11th, and it's hard to believe 17 years ago since September 11th, 2001. I think it's one of those things is everybody remembers what they were doing, where they were. I saw people posting it on Twitter, Facebook all day, remembering where they were. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Amazing. Just two quick stories. My roommate from college got married on September 10th. 2001, and didn't take off the honeymoon until September 11th, was in the air when the planes hit the World Trade Center, and had to, I think he was on his way to the Cayman Islands, I'm not exactly sure. The plane landed in Orlando, so that's where they were held up. Was it about 3 days that the flights were canceled? I want to say three days.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre.
And he says to his wife, after things didn't calm down, but flights started going again, he goes, well, what are we going to do? You know, we can't go to Cayman Islands now. We couldn't even get a flight. So they went to Disneyland up in Orlando.
Wow.
Disneyland opened up after 3 days. That's the only time I think it had been closed, was like 1 or 2 days after the attacks of 9/11. They pulled up like maybe the morning of the 13th or the 14th. They were the first car in. I mean, it was open. And they were the first car in into the parking lot. So, that was their honeymoon. That was absolutely crazy.
I was working in the bottom floor of the Champlain Mill, shocker, shocker, at a radio station, since that's all I've ever done, at WKDR and the Mark Johnson Show, which is a great show on that station for years, and then on to WDEV in Waterbury for years. And he was talking with the director of natural resources in Vermont, and we had that's how vivid it is, even 17 years later. Remember who the guest was. And we had a little black and white TV or whatever up in the corner, and you're seeing these. It's like, wait a minute, is that a plane that just hit that? I mean, you know, they immediately broke, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, of course, your first thought is that has to be some sort of mistake. I mean, that must have just been pilot error, and this is horrible, and how are all these people going to get out? And then I think the gravity of the whole thing just hit, and my immediate thought was, I got to get home, get my kid, who was like 4 at the time, or 6 or whatever, got to get home. We got to get her out of school, and we've got to figure this thing out. I just remember that awful feeling, and Arnie, you could probably relate to this because you were, you know, pretty much my age at the time too, was when that fourth plane crashed. Yeah, it was like what's next? It was just that for about a half an hour, it was this horrible feeling like, what the hell's going to happen next?
Yeah. I was on the air, but go ahead, Brady.
I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Sixth grade technology class.
Wow.
It was like my second week of school. It was my first week at a new school because we had elementary school was K through 5 and the middle school was 6 through 8. So it was my first, you know, my second week of middle school ever. You know, first time you're changing classes and you're walking all around the building and all this stuff. And I was sitting in sixth grade technology class and it's, you know, it's the first period of the day. And I remember the teacher showing us what happened on TV.
Ooh.
And then after that, once people started to realize how serious it was, then no one would talk about it the rest of the day in school. No one would send you home. No one would. They didn't want to send us home because they didn't know exactly what was going on. And remember, I was living in Albany, so that you're 3 hours away from New York City there, two and a half. So people didn't know what was going on.
And nobody had any idea what to do because I remember I was the news director at the station at the time. So what I do is I grabbed my cassette player. Yes, that's right. There was a time. And went right to Burlington Airport to talk to people about the reaction to this horrible event. The problem was is nobody knew about it at Burlington Airport. Obviously, the officials knew, the people involved at the airport, but the passengers were all, I remember walking in there, and people were furious because all of a sudden, all the flights up on the boards had canceled all at the same time, and everybody was furious.
Yeah, they didn't know why.
It's a beautiful day. Why are you canceling my flight? And everybody was angry, and I told them, and people, it was very emotional for everybody because I told these people what had happened, and they're all just bursting into tears and running for phones, and it was kind of chaotic.
I was in Los Angeles. I was doing afternoon drive for Clear Channel. We had the sports station, but we had like 4 or 5 other stations also. As soon as it happened in the morning, they canceled all the shows that we had on all the stations, and they went to the news. Our local, one of our stations was a news station, and we had all the news round the clock. Well, I get a call about an hour later. This is still about like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, the boss, we had a meeting. You're going to come in and you're going to do your show. I said, I'm going to do a sports show?
Right.
I go, is something wrong with you people? I go, this is the first time I ever talked to a boss like that. I go, is something wrong with you guys? So I'm not coming in. I'm not doing nothing. So I'm not coming. I'm not doing the show. They said, you're coming in. And they hung up the phone. I said, okay, we'll see who's going to come in. So I came, I just got in my car. I drove down there to tell them I'm not going on the air. So we had a big meeting, and all of a sudden there was room, there was presidents. They go, we need you to do this show. I said, I'll do the show, but I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. And they said, okay, do what you want. And I went on there. I said, and I didn't know who Osama bin Laden was at the time. I don't think very many people knew. And I said, well, I'll just say this. And I had a partner. And I'm like, well, we got to catch these people and we got to kill them. You know, we've got, and people are like, my bosses just couldn't believe I was saying this, but what were they going to do? Everybody felt the same way.
Right.
I'm like, we've got to take care of this fast and seriously. And, we had a airline pilot call in, from American Airlines. It was absolutely crazy. It's the only time I think I've begged off the air. I'm like, don't do this. Because you don't know what I'm going to say, and I don't filter myself well.
Did you talk any sports? Just as a side question,
No. The whole show, the whole 4 hours, was spent on what happened.
Oh, yeah.
What we're going to do about it. And then we had pilots. We had guests. Pilots call in. We took calls too, which were very emotional. Mm-hmm. I mean, we took phone calls. That was the crazy part of the whole thing about what people called in about.
That was the thing. And, I mean, being in radio, as you and I both were that day, immediately, whatever format you may have had or thing going on, it made no difference.
Yeah, but they shouldn't put me on.
That changed everything for a week.
And I told this in the meeting. I go, I'm the last person you want on. I'm not a political guy. I don't know who Osama bin Laden is. Do you guys understand that? They go, we don't know who he is either. I go, then put somebody on that does know. Because I don't. Mm-hmm. And I go over to KFI, which was our news station at the time. I promise you, they do. We had John and Ken, who were like big stars all over the country. I go to them. But they wouldn't do it. I don't know why the hell they wanted me. Anyway, you want to make a comment on that, Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. God bless America. Never forget. Brady, what is coming up next?
Matt Patricia. You could say he struggled in his debut.
Wow.
Bill Belichick disciples
continue
to struggle. We break it down and why this trend may continue.
We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle, 101.3.
News.
Currently 73 degrees at 101.3, the game.
The huddle. huddle is back, and the kitchen is now a mess. 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle, 101.3, The Game. It is a busy Tuesday. Remember, we got trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. Come on by. I'm hosting. Chantel's going to come out, too, from Star, so that's going to be exciting.
What's left of her?
Yeah, she's lost a lot of weight.
I'm looking at her right now. My goodness.
Yeah, she lost weight. My wife lost weight. Unbelievable.
You're losing weight. Yeah, I'm losing weight.
Why are we not in that studio? We need a nicer studio.
Their studio has been... Yeah. Why? This is always been where this station
is,
in this room.
I know, but cleaner and nicer and stuff like that.
Wow, right?
Easy.
I'm good.
Because we have so much dust here and pollen and asbestos or whatever they call it.
Asbestos? You mean asbestos?
I don't. It's changed my speech.
A festivus
so
for the rest of us.
It's affecting my body.
By the way, there is a mouse in the garbage pail over there, just
is
to let you
really?
Know, because every morning when I come in, I can hear him rattling around in there.
Oh, I was going to say, is it dead or is it alive?
No. Well, he's alive right now. Great. Now the PETA people are going to be here.
Are you being serious?
Oh, yeah. There's something's rattling around in that garbage can.
Do you feed it?
I probably do when you figure all the crap we throw in there.
Well, that's true. You see, this is why we got to get out of this studio.
This is great.
We need another one.
Have you ever been in another radio station? Well, did I just ask you this?
Yeah.
But I mean, seriously, around here.
My home studio is nicer.
This is
cleaner.
This is a plush surrounding here compared to a lot of the stations.
Unbelievable. All right, what happened with Matt Patricia? Because he looked like a deer in the headlights yesterday.
Yeah, Matt Patricia struggled. Let's say that.
Struggled.
Lions.
He was a parent. They take the kids away.
That was awesome.
Lions got throttled by the Jets of all teams, 48-17. It was ugly from about the third play of the game. So the Jets throw a pick six to start it, but it
was
all
so
down.
Funny that he Sam Darnold threw a pick six to start things off.
I absolutely burst out laughing when I saw that because I don't have any horse in this race. I just thought it was hilarious.
But Patricia's team was overmatched. They looked out-schemed, out-coached. The Jets players said they knew Matt Stafford's hand signals. They knew what plays were coming. It was ugly for Matt Patricia, and to Patriot fans who think that it's only Belichick, it doesn't matter who else is with him as his lieutenants, you were proven right yesterday.
This goes to show you that Belichick doesn't get his assistant coaches ready to be head coaches.
It's not his job.
Well, you know what? Then how come the other ones that take over from like Walsh or somebody like that, Holmgren, always seem to do well in the NFL when they take over head coaches, but not Belichick's disciples?
I just don't think that's his job. I mean, they can take – when you say disciples, that means these are people who learn strategies and learn the game of football from Bill Belichick. But as to whether that translates onto the football field as the leader of another team is a whole different story. I don't think it's up to Bill Belichick.
It's one failure after another.
Do you think he's saying, all right, let's bring this guy in, I'm going to groom him to be a head coach?
Why wouldn't you? You see Josh McCown teaching Sam Darnold everything he knows along the Jets sideline there. I mean, he's like a quarterback coach out there.
I think it is his responsibility,
really?
Rich. I think it's more of a college coach's responsibility to get an assistant coach ready, but I also think it translates into the NFL, too, or into professional sports as well. These coaches, they go, one, where they can get their foot in the door, two, where they can continue to move up, and three, where they can continue to get better so that they can ultimately get to their job of their dreams, which in most cases is being a head coach. If Bill Belichick is holding back some of the information, if Bill Belichick isn't giving him everything at his disposal, then I do think that that's a problem. Again, at college, I think it's more of the coach's responsibility. And I understand a head coach in the NFL that says, hey, I don't want to teach this guy everything so he can go and beat me in the future. I can relate to that to some degree. But ultimately, I do think that Bill Belichick has a responsibility to teach his lieutenants everything he knows. Yeah. That makes them successful individually and the team successful as well.
But are you saying that he's holding stuff back because of it to his assistant coaches that can help the Patriots win that season, that game, that Sunday, just because he's worried that guy's going to leave the flock for another team?
Not necessarily, but I think when Josh McDaniels came out and said that part of the reason why he stayed this year in New England was because Belichick was going to open up everything in his knowledge box to him and take him through draft processing and take him through the war room and take him through the free agent negotiations, my thought was, why is Josh McDaniels not privy to these conversations as it is. Josh McDaniels wants to learn about how football works. He wants to learn on the field, off the field, and football operations. And if Belichick's withholding some of that, some of those opportunities from him, I don't think that's doing Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia or anyone else a service.
They had to get like that, not in writing, but remember it's like, okay, Belichick agreed to show him how to do this and how to do the draft. And then there was a problem that he wasn't showing him. And, you got some stuff in the news about that.
But don't you feel like it's partly the assistant coaches and the coordinators' responsibilities to learn through Bill Belichick's daily activities?
Well,
and
then
all
he's
the
not doing a good job.
And the strat. I agree, but I mean, if you're going to be a so-called disciple of a guy and you're with him 18 hours a day or whatever for 9 months out of the year, if not more, shouldn't you be able to decipher some information from him that makes you a better coach moving forward?
You think the first thing he would have learned was don't wear your damn hat backwards when you're a head coach of a football team.
Oh, I guarantee you that drives Belichick nuts.
Well,
military background and the family.
There was a lot of people that were turned off by that.
Yep.
And don't go get on Twitter. I know that doesn't get the whole scope of things, but see what people were writing about him.
Look, if Detroit wins that game 48-17 or whatever, nobody cares about the direction of his cap. But you're right, it does matter.
Tony Romo, too.
You're setting yourself up. It's an avoidable situation when you're not doing well, and it's another thing they can throw at the dartboard at you.
All this said about how the Lions played and what it means for Belichick and his ability to get coaches ready, I don't think the Lions are as bad as they showed yesterday, because he can't be as bad as they showed yesterday. And not all of that rests on Matt Patricia. Okay, I'm sorry. Not all of it does. He ultimately takes responsibility for it, but he didn't throw five interceptions personally. He's not the offensive coordinator that made the hand signals for Matt Stafford so easily decipherable that the Jets had them picked. That is not Matt Patricia's fault.
I didn't know what he was doing. He was just looking like a deer. He didn't do anything. I thought Zach Galifianakis was watching the game from the sideline.
He also didn't allow multiple special teams gaffes, including a punt return for a touchdown and a punt return deep into your own territory, midway through the first half or so. I mean, the Jets were starting constantly in Lion territory. That is not all Matt Patricia's fault.
No.
They're not that bad.
But that was such a blowout of such epic proportions. It almost did feel suspicious, didn't it? I wasn't surprised to hear there was something like that going. I mean, the Jets were in that backfield on almost every snap before Stafford could even do anything. I mean, they were just killing him back there.
Marion Colchester said Solder got embarrassed by Jacksonville. Butler gets burned for a long touchdown. Jimmy G throws three picks and takes an L. Matt Patricia gets his butt kicked by the Jets at home by the Jets. I know it's just week one. Are we doubting Belichick? Loved the show. Jimmy G didn't really play much for Belichick, so I don't know his point there.
He's basically saying that Belichick is right to get rid of these people that we have held in high regard.
Oh, stop with the Jimmy G. Stop it. They got rid of him because of the money. If he was making $1 million a year, he'd still be on the team. Adam and Williston, you're 100% correct, Rich. Definitely not in the NFL. When you said that it's not Belichick's job to get his assistant coaches ready to be NFL head coaches.
I disagree with that. Look at the people, even that are reclamation projects that Belichick has put on his staff. Okay, he's taken, who's it, Brett Bielema, the old college coach at Arkansas. He's taken Greg Schiano, put him on the staff. You think he's prepping these guys? He's taking these guys on as favors to them to resurrect their career so that they can go on and get a job in the future. So he's teaching somebody something.
Well, the only guy I would completely just give everything to is Josh McDaniels, who signed, as it turns out, a very lucrative contract, we find out just recently, for like 5 years, because he sounds like he's the guy in waiting. I mean, so I suppose he can't break his contract and just go somewhere else, can he?
Oh, well.
I mean, he's the highest paid coordinator in football now. He's not going to just leave.
But don't you think what I said matters? I don't want to, I mean, I'm not, I don't want you to gloss over it, because I think that's an important distinction to make. If Greg Schiano and Brett Bielema and all these people are brought on staff as reclamation projects that Belichick brings in, isn't he showing them something to resurrect their careers to help them advance in the future? Why is he not doing that with everybody?
I don't know. And not only that, even if he doesn't go out of his way to show them, they should be picking stuff up. You know how he does certain things, how he does the draft, his philosophy on how he gets rid of players more sooner than later, or all that stuff. And they don't seem to be learning crap. They don't know what the hell they're doing is what's going on.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, is there a possibility the Patriots have, do you think there's actually a Patriots way? I mean, And
well,
just,
I do think
just,
there's a Patriots way.
I mean, you just can't translate that to other locker rooms for one reason or another?
They're not doing anything. Then these guys are idiots. Seriously. They're just idiots. I'd like to think I'd be able to teach somebody radio. And I've taught a lot of people radio that have been going on to been successful. I got a lot of morons.
Can you imagine you teaching somebody how to do radio?
Yeah, it's not that tough, though. It really isn't.
Brady,
who's on the line? Who do we got on the line?
We got nobody on the line.
Oh, I saw the phone ringing. And you went,
Verizon.
You put your hand to your phone, mouth and said, telephone, telephone. So that's why I thought there was somebody on the line.
No.
You want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. Real quick, Chris Sale's going to return tonight, right, my friend? First time in a month.
First time since August 12th.
Okay, he's made one appearance since July 27th.
Wow. Yeah. Is this going to be one of those part-time starting things
Say.
I expect it to be a limited start. I expect it to be on a pitch count. He's 12-4 with a 1.97 ERA. This can provide another boost to the Red Sox. I think it matters not so much how he plays today, but if for a team that seems to be lacking motivation here down the stretch, just any little thing that can ignite the fire again, I think is good. And getting your ace back certainly is one.
One thing you don't want to see, though, is him just get hammered out there today.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens if he gets hammered?
Exactly. And then everybody's going to panic, and including me, and assume something's wrong with him.
I want to see his velocity stay consistent throughout. I don't want to see it drop off drastically. I want to see movement on his pitches, and I want to see location. And if he does that, he's not going to get hammered.
Tom says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. If the assistant coaches don't pick up the inner workings and strategies from the head coach, then it's on them for not being successful at the next level. I would say that if it's true, if it's 1, 2, but when you started getting the 7, 8, 9, 10, I got to look at somewhere. When you get one divorce, okay, maybe it's her. When you're at divorce number 7, 8, or 9, maybe you need to look in the mirror there, my friend.
When Al Groh is the only coach you tutored with a winning record, something's not right.
The former Jets coach?
Yes.
Jeez.
I think he was like 9-7 or something.
Oh, my goodness, man. You have to go that far back.
But anyway, back to Chris Sale. I suspect he's on a very short leash, maybe 50 pitches tonight.
Wow.
I mean, of course, the temptation, like it was in his last start when he went 5 innings and threw a one-hitter, and we were all mad because, that they took him out so early. As it turns out, we were very wrong on that. But the temptation is he goes out there and strikes everybody out. You want to win the game, but I would assume he's not going more than 3 or 4 tonight.
They should have the full lineup back in there coming off a Monday bye, so it shouldn't be any of these scrubs out there like they did a couple of Sundays ago.
You would think.
Well, there was a lot of scrubs in that game, no doubt. That kind of like, what the hell are they putting out there? Doug says, I'm pretty sure Al Groh, is that what he meant to say? Was groomed by both Belichick and Parcells. Yeah, look at Parcells' disciples. Much different, much more successful than Belichick. I promise you that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
They said what?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what are Clay, Colin, and DP saying today?
We'll find out next on 101.3 The Game.
Wait. What did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, just real quick, Daryl said, Rich is right, live and learn. By the way, the hat in reverse is a stunt. Arnie likes to cast shade on you. No, the hat in reverse is not a stunt, it's just a bad look. It's not, what do you mean a stunt? Like, hey, look at that hat backwards, I've never seen that before.
It was interesting before the game, the first thing I thought of when I started watching that game, the pregame there was, I wonder what, if Matt Patricia as a head coach of an NFL team is going to be wearing it like that. I was actually kind of hoping he would be, and he was.
Knucklehead.
But it doesn't help any now when you get blown out like that.
I don't understand. I don't make much of a big deal about that. So what, you're telling me if he wears his hat forward or a visor and loses 48-17, it's much better?
No, I'm telling you it makes a difference because if your pilot comes up aboard, do you want him dressed in a professional pilot's outfit or do you want somebody wearing shorts with the hat backwards? A school bus driver, a doctor, you know?
This really seems like it's a way to cover up a crack about his weight. That's what this seems like.
Oh, no.
A guy who can't take care of himself can't take care of 53 other guys. That's what I read into this.
Well, you know what, though? I would never say... well, to you, because you're thin somewhat. I would never say to you, Brady, you need to lose weight, because you'd be saying, well, look at you. You know, that's the exact point I'm trying to make.
What am I missing here? What does weight loss have to do with this hat?
I'm saying, Arnie says he looks unprofessional. I'm saying I think what people really look at as unprofessional is the fact that he's overweight. Rex Ryan was overweight.
Well, but, you know, I was just about to say a lot of coaches in football are overweight.
Yeah, but again,
a lot are overweight.
I'm not buying the hat being a big difference between him being successful. Ben McAdoo tried to wear a suit. People ran him out of town for that. So you got to be dressed up, but don't be too dressed up. We'll laugh at you for that, too.
I took 3 years of Tony Romo wearing his hat backwards as the quarterback of the Cowboys, and you'd be surprised. And that's from Cowboy fans, too.
My coach could be wearing a purple and pink necktie, and I couldn't care less as long as he's winning.
All right, Brady, they said what? Let's get to that. Who are we going to start with first, Aaron?
Well, let's get to our first one.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff on this station today. Colin Cowherd, who you can hear every day on the Herd, noon until 3. He'll start us off today with...
They said what?
Well, Colin doing his Herd hierarchy, where he ranks the top 10 teams in the league. Where does he have the Patriots?
New England Patriots, best coach in the league, best quarterback in the league, and they had 36 yards in penalties, fewest in the league. At times, they're the opposite of the Steelers. You question New England's talent, but lordy, are they buttoned up. 36 penalty yards. Here's what's amazing. Even when you think Houston's coming to town, and they got, you know, J.J. Watt, and they got, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, and you're like, oh, pass rush. They didn't touch Brady until the fourth quarter. They audible out of problems. New England 5.
He's got him ranked 5th.
I feel like he's talking to me. I feel like he's talking to me, even though you had him losing to Jacksonville, and I have him coming in with no talent whatsoever. But he's right. Belichick, Brady, that's a win. We'll see if that equates to a win this weekend against Jacksonville, but I agree with what Colin had to say. Just
and I mean, how many years have they gone 12-4, 13-3 with almost no receiving core?
No, that's not true.
And a running
that's
back
true.
Committee.
No, but that's not true with the no receiving core. Maybe they
really? Other than Randy Moss?
Maybe they didn't have stars, but they had bodies.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you have bodies.
What's his face? Branch, and, you know, they had actually names, you know, not
Troy
unknowns.
Brown, Deion Branch. No,
that's not true, Rich.
Really? Deion Branch had a great Super Bowl. I mean,
if I could remember your name at a wide receiver for the Patriots and you're just an average person, you're a little bit better.
Name me a Hall of Famer, whoever was the other than Randy Moss, obviously.
There's not too many Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I've always felt like Brady was the main guy, and he was surrounded by.
Well,
other than Gronk now, he hasn't been surrounded by anybody.
I don't think that I don't think it's as simple as that. Just saying, they've only played with one Hall of Famer, I think that's too simplistic. It's also too simplistic to say, they've played with nobody. They've played with a collection of good NFL players who fit a scheme well.
Right. That's
Brady has elevated them, of course.
That's the key. They fit a scheme. They came in. They got it. How many guys have we seen in the last month come in and have absolutely no idea what they're doing out there, and now they're gone?
I was surprised. I like what Colin said about the Patriots. I'm surprised with the teams he's got ahead of them, okay? He's got the Chiefs ahead of them at number 4. He's got the Eagles ahead of them at number 3. He's got the Ravens ahead of them at number 2. And he's got the Rams ahead of them at number 1. Now, I picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl. I'm fully on board with that. But to tell me that Baltimore is better today than New England, I'm still – I refuse to believe this.
I do like the way the Rams and the Ravens look, though. I mean, well, there's no doubt about that.
The Ravens, his judgment is clouded by 47-3. I mean, that's a serious blowout.
Big Mike and McGill cut his one. Is Wes Welker chopped liver, Rich?
No.
You sound like a spoiled Pats fan.
That's not my
point.
Wes Welker was a free agent pickup who was quite good at Miami, but he was never a star until he got to New England. A lot of these guys became much better once they got into the Patriots system.
Another one agreeing with you guys, not so much with me.
They said what?
Colin talking about Matt Patricia's appearance.
You don't want to look like a frat boy, especially when you've never accomplished anything, especially when all of Bill Belichick's assistants flame out. But Colin, Bill Belichick wears on the sideline. It doesn't matter. He's the greatest coach ever. Okay? Certain guys can come to work. They have the corner office. They don't have to wear a tie. You're an intern. Champ, do better. Matt Patricia on the sidelines looked like a chump.
Well, that's the thing. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, he's earned it. I remember my dad when I was a kid. Oh, my gosh. My dad used to always say, you should probably wear a suit and tie to anything that's important just in case they're on the fringe as to whether they want to hire you. That they can't use the way you look as an excuse not to do something good.
Dress for success.
Oh, he used to hammer me on that.
There you go.
Look at their look in their faces and press the flesh hard when you shake their hand.
I love
and
it.
Dress really well. I don't know what happened to that command.
Yeah, millennials are so out of touch right now. It's not even funny.
Oh, well, I'm not saying
they
that.
Can't
I'm just
dress,
saying
they can't shake hands. They can't look at you in the eye.
You dress. Yeah. You dress to get the job, as Colin would say. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. You know what? I wore a suit and tie to my interview here. I got the job.
Right.
Now I feel like I can dress down a little bit. Matt Patricia wore a suit and tie on his intro press conference with the Lions. He got his hair cut. He trimmed his beard.
Shirt and tie didn't make a difference for you because I'm the one that made a decision. I'm like, hey, let's just hire this guy.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. I made the decision.
Well, I'll say it again. This is ridiculous.
Who do you think hired you?
Because if the Lions win that game tomorrow, everybody's going, oh, he looks so cool. And, I mean, they're showing, you know, everything's about the backwards hat. Look at all the success
this guy's
having. That would
have been 7-0 Detroit. It was nothing about the backwards hat, though.
No, but I'm just saying, the backwards hat is just something that comes into play because the team sucked last night.
Colin's the one who champions Bryce Harper with the make baseball fun again and saying, oh, it's fun to be rebellious and do all the kooky stuff, that bat flip and all this stuff. So that stuff was seen as unprofessional. Colin's all about it. I find him a little hypocritical there.
Wow.
They said what?
Dan Patrick talking about NFL and salaries, et cetera, wondering if Bill Belichick would do what the Chicago Bears did.
So I think John was disingenuous with, you know, Khalil Mack didn't want to be there. Khalil Mack said he would have taken less to stay with the Raiders. Does that sound like somebody who doesn't want to be there? John has a plan. He doesn't want to pay. You know, Bill Belichick does this. Belichick doesn't pay these guys. I'm curious if Belichick had Khalil Mack. Would they pony up that money? And I'm guessing no.
Hmm. I'm banking no. That they built Belichick says, fine, we'll give you $141 million. They didn't give Brady that type of money when Brady could have left. Years ago, and he was the greatest of all time, maybe at that point. Oh, stop it.
Boy, did the John Gruden flame burn out in a hurry.
I think Gruden is disingenuous.
All they were talking about yesterday was John Gruden. The whole Jets game, when it got out of hand, they kept, obviously, when it was 100-2 or whatever, you know, they're promoting the second game as something to stick around for. And all it was Gruden, Gruden, Gruden. And they're putting him on, and he's like, you go over to the fan. All I really care about is that we entertain. Like, really?
Scrunch up your face more, Gruden.
How about a win? I mean, the only thing you care about is entertaining the fans and making them happy?
I think it was very interesting that I think you can't even compare these situations. The Patriots have won 5 Super Bowls. They no longer need to overpay. The Chicago Bears haven't won a Super Bowl since 86. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about a team that's looking to get 85. To that level. They need as many foundational pieces as you can. The Patriots no longer need that. It's apples and oranges.
No, not really. I mean, you want to still be you want to stay at that level. They say the Rams would have traded for him, Khalil Mack, but they would have had to trade him after the year too.
Right. But doesn't this come back to the In Bill We Trust? I mean, some of the things he's done has been outrageous in so many different people's opinions, and yet. You get to the point where people look and the way that they act and the decisions they make, after a while, when you just constantly have success, you just say, all right, do it your way. It's working. If you don't want to spend $10 million on that guy, then we won't, because everything you seem to do works out in the long run.
All right, we got to get to the next one. Coming up next, you talk about a topic brewing. Everybody getting in on this next thing. They say it's racist. Some people don't think it's racist at all. We'll get to that. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3.
The greatest minds in sports are anywhere near this building. It's the huddle. 101.3. The game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game. It is a busy Tuesday. Remember, we got trivia at the Burger Bar. We'll tell you more about that later on. Brady, it may take us a little bit to kind of set up this next story about Serena Williams.
I'm going to post this on Facebook, just so you know.
Well, the cartoon.
Yeah, go ahead. You can set it up, but I'm saying I'm going to post it.
Really, what it's a cartoon that was in the Herald Sun. Where is this? In Australia?
It's in Australia. Sydney. Okay. I believe it's Sydney.
Okay, and they do this a lot, where they do cartoons of, I guess, sports and non-sports. And they put a picture of Serena Williams having a tantrum.
Right.
After the U.S. Open, throwing a racket on the ground, jumping on the racket, and a lot of people have started crying about it being racist and now sexist, and this has all come out after the loss because she was penalized a couple of points in a game. in that one against Osaka. So
right.
A lot of people livid about this, and Serena leading the way, disgusted at the cartoon. Rich, you saw the cartoon.
Yeah.
Before we went on the air, I showed that to you. Let me get your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, it's a guy named Mark Knight who's been doing it forever. He's he's a cartoonist who's been with the Herald Sun, which is a tabloid in Melbourne,
right,
Australia, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch. And he's a household name in Australia. He's been doing this forever. But I looked at this and I saw it and I laughed. I mean,
right.
and
a lot of people did.
I just laughed. Basically, I mean, to understand it, Serena. It's a very overblown caricature of,
right.
of Serena.
Which is what caricatures are.
And I think that's partly causing the problems.
Yeah.
Her lips are huge.
Right.
Her nose is huge. It's just
right.
it's just this very large woman stomping up and down on her tennis
and
racket. And
they,
a little baby thing there on the right. I'm not sure what you call those
things. Pacifier?
A
yes.
pacifier. It's been a while since I've had a kid. So, and then it's a picture of the
Osaka.
Osaka and the umpire, and the umpire is looking down at her and saying, "Can you just let her win?"
Yes, but people are also complaining about her picture because in the cartoon, she is white with a blonde-haired ponytail.
Right.
She is a part with Japanese and Haitian.
Yep.
And she doesn't have a blonde ponytail.
Yeah.
So
no, I just
I don't understand why they put that picture like that.
No, it's the words that I thought were funny. I mean, I got around the picture and the umpire just begging Osaka, you know, can you just let her win? I mean, you have to. It's hard to describe this and why it's so vile and so many. It's just definitely something you have to see. So,
Brady, racist, you think, or what? When you saw this,
I didn't think it was racist at first. As I look at it more, I think the depiction of Serena's lips.
Yep.
I think that is the most racist element of this. I don't take it racist as a whole. I don't understand why Osaka is depicted as fair skinned. Is she actually, you know, more fair skinned than she actually is, but I think it is all meant to just depict everything else in the background. I think it's meant to be more of an artistic technique to, you know, kind of bring Serena out into the forefront where she was the forefront of the story and everyone else kind of fades into the background. That's how I'm taking it. I think it's more of an artistic ploy. It is up on our Facebook page, and you can take the poll and tell us if you think it's racist, too, on 101.3 The Game on our Facebook page.
And the cartoonist says the cartoon about Serena is about her poor behavior on the day, not about race,
right.
Mr. Knight said in an article. The newspaper's editor, Damon Johnston, backed him up. He says a champion tennis player had a mega tantrum on the world stage, and Mark's cartoon depicted that. It had nothing to do with gender or race.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree on that one, too, though people see it completely different on that. Wow, a lot in already. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending out there. We'll get you ready for hour two. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Dan Patrick and Colin Coward, weekdays 9 to 3 on WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 The Game. The Game, sports trending now.
The Red Sox back in action tonight, taking on the Blue Jays at Fenway Park. First game of a three-game series that goes Tuesday through Thursday. 6:25, the pregame show starts right here on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 The Game. Chris Sale makes his first start since August 12th. He's been on the DL since then with left shoulder impingement. Rumor has it today that he will go either two innings or 40 pitches, whichever one comes first. That came from a report on Bleacher Report. Patriots have tried to add to their wide receiver depth will try to give themselves some wide receiver depth. They've signed former first-round pick Corey Coleman to a one-year deal, previously a first-round pick of the Browns. He was cut by the Bills in this preseason. They've also signed former Broncos wide receiver Benny Fowler as well. Good news for Yankee fans. Aaron Judge took BP again yesterday at Target Field as the Yankees beat the Twins behind a strong performance from Jay Happ. Judge would not pigeonhole himself into saying exactly when he will be back. He's been out now more than a month with that broken bone in his wrist. Ray Allen spoke to the Dan Patrick Show. We'll tell you what he had to say as we continue on here in the huddle on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Always streaming on the 101.3 The Game app and on your Amazon Echo.
This is 101.3 The Game. They mean what they say, and they say what they mean. Sometimes it might even make sense. The huddle is back. On 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is a busy Tuesday. Remember, we got trivia tonight. We'll tell you more about that later on. Brady, read Matt and St. Albans text on the Town Fair Tire text line, because it's like five pages long. I can't read the whole thing.
I don't believe the cartoon was intended to be racist, although it certainly has become that after analysis. It's hard to get on board with Serena. She acted like a baby that was pouting after not getting the type of cereal she wanted at the grocery store.
Exactly.
It was really embarrassing for her. There was a great piece written today that went through all the different code violations that were assessed to men and women in the tournament. There's been far more assessed to men. Gender and race had nothing to do with the number of code violations. It was a bad look for Serena.
I saw that. Did you see the numbers on that? Did you guys see the number?
I told you that at the end of the show yesterday. It was like 86 to 22.
Oh, I thought I saw that on TV.
No, your co-hosts, both of us, told you that.
Oh, is that what you guys, 86 to 23?
You weren't dreaming. It actually happened in this room.
That, and then she complained about it the other way around, and she's so off on that. I mean, how could you be so off?
Yeah, I don't know. And then to turn this into something that depicts the umpire or anybody involved in this as sexist or racist to me, you're just making something up.
All right. So if you want to make a comment on that, Tom Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672, just to show you how dedicated we are to bring you all the sports here. We are carrying the Bruins in Calgary at 2:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, and Brady has to be here to make sure everything runs smoothly on that Saturday morning. Brady, that's going to be pretty tough for you, I have a feeling.
That's not true. I'm not going to be there.
What? We didn't tell
you. You're not going to be here?
You have to be here because your national show is going to end at 2 a.m.
Well, that's true. I'll be the lead-in for the Calgary Bruins game.
How funny is that?
Coming up next, your Bruins hockey.
Flames Bruins from China.
Brady, you should have told everybody you were going to be here. They say, wow, Brady works hard. You're going to be here at 2:30 in the morning just to carry that game.
You know what would be fun? It's just have a contest where at any random moment during the game, we'll take caller number one and you win $100 just to see if anybody
is listening at 2:30 in the morning.
To Bruins Calgary hockey from China at 4 in the morning.
Well, it's Friday night, Saturday morning, so you'll get the drunkards.
And the overnight. And the
Uber drivers.
And the overnight workers.
Well, you're just wrapping things up at about 2 in the morning. So
imagine.
Is that on TV, too? I can't imagine.
No idea.
Could probably Nesson Plus, perhaps?
I don't know. 2:35.
They sending Tom Karen to do play-by-play on
You can ask him when we talk to him at 5.
Would we be carrying that if you had to be here at 2:35 in the morning, Rich? Or
yes,
Brady?
Of course.
Or you would be ready. You'd be pushing all the buttons at 2:35 cursing. Like, what am I doing here? 2:35 in the morning.
That sounds like an intern job to me.
Oh, big time. I don't care if you're by yourself or not. Figure it out, intern. I'm not coming at 2:35 in the morning.
I'll engineer that game. I just got out of Reuben James at 2 a.m.
I'm stumbling in. All right, let's tell everybody what's coming up tonight. We start with the Burger Bar because we have trivia tonight.
Remember, we'll be out at the Burger Bar in Colchester. You know where it is, next to St. Mike's, across from Fannie Allen. It's all thanks to Two Roads Brewing. So we'll have 250 16-ounce cans, also $4 drafts. The food at the Burger Bar, you know, is phenomenal. Oh. We've got a bunch of it out front right now.
I can't wait to attack it.
I just had Philly cheesesteak egg rolls in the last commercial break.
Get out of here.
With some kind of homemade sauce that I couldn't even tell you what it is, but it's delicious.
And we're just sitting here, thinking, I wish there was something to eat. And then Matt walks in for Burger Bar.
Forget a smoothie now. Huh?
Usually when Matt walks in, that's a good thing for food.
Yeah, we've got wings here. Oh. I can attest to them being great. We've got egg rolls here. I can attest to them being great as well. In fact, we love the Burger Bar so much, we're going to be there twice this week. Today for trivia, we'll also be there Sunday, 4:25. The best game on the NFL schedule is the Patriots and the Jaguars. We will be there, 4:25. We'll be watching the Patriots, but he's got NFL Sunday tickets. You can see all four of the 4 o'clock games, and we lead in to Giants Cowboys, which is the Sunday night
game.
And
my suggestion is if Jacksonville gets up by 4 or 5 touchdowns, bring a book. You might want to read that while we're having fun watching the game. Yeah. I'll have fun watching the game, and the rest of you guys can just read a book or something like that.
You're a funny guy.
What? Yeah. I'm trying to bring a magazine, bring your phone.
Maybe the St. Mike's kids could study.
Yeah, study, bring a chess set. So while I'm enjoying the game, everybody else has something else to do.
I tell you, other than Super Bowls, there have been very few games I want the Patriots to win more than this, because the entire three-hour show on Monday will be dedicated to just absolutely crucifying you.
Half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials, and we're giving away a Miller Lite custom keg grill.
Nice.
A custom keg grill. Grill. Okay. We are giving away. So you talk about the best game on the schedule at the best new place to watch football in the Champlain Valley at the Burger Bar in Colchester with the best specials that there are. And we're giving away the best tailgating equipment, too. We'll also give away Vermont pizza carts. We will also give away we're also going to have all kinds of Burger Bar swag, gift cards to the Burger Bar. Rich is showing me pictures of the keg grill trying to distract me.
Nice, look at that, look at that.
It looks like the Stanley Cup.
Sideways, yes.
That's nice.
So we'll be giving away gift cards to the Burger Bar, too, and we're getting qualifiers to win a pair of Patriots tickets. So why wouldn't you come out and hang out with us to see the best game on the schedule at the best new place in town to watch football?
Looking forward to it. So
that is hilarious. Come on, I want one of those.
Come watch the game until it gets to be a blowout.
I sound like you wouldn't want the Patriots to get up too much because then nobody will stay.
Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Arnie, you sent me this story, and before we get to the top four at four, I wanted to ask you this. You saw the story, Rich, where there was a family. They're in their the mom's in the 70s, the dad's in the 80s. They live in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. They go to a thrift shop every day, and they just check to see if, you know, thrown out things that are valuable are there, kind of like the Antique Road Show and the Pawn Stars and the what's that other show that's like Pawn Stars?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
What?
Seinfeld, Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my God. Shut up. Someone tell me what the show is where they go and look for the old stuff and they fix them all up.
Yeah.
It's like Pawn Stars, but it's on the road. They buy it, and then they fix it, and then they sell it in their shop. And I'm going to be irritated
It's like when I go to the recycle center and got rid of 90% of the things I've ever owned in my life in the last 3 months, like my record collection. There's always somebody hanging around ready to scoop it up.
Someone on the text line knows the name of this show. I've watched this show. It's the tall, skinny guy with the gray hair and the short, fat guy who's balding. I know the guys. So this old couple goes to the thrift store, and they find their
American Pickers.
Yes, American Pickers. The couple finds their son's baseball glove from 40 years ago. Their kid lost a glove in Ohio.
No, they lost it.
And 40 years later, it shows up at the thrift store in Florida. And there it is, plain as day. His name is written on the glove the same way it was when he was 8 years old or whatever.
Wow. He's more likely to win Powerball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about that. Ohio and Florida?
I would ask you, and I asked the text line too, if after 40 years you could find something of yours, what would it be? If after 40 years something of yours was going to reappear, what would you want to find? You ever have something you lost that you wish you could get back?
Well, just when I was fooling around with Donna when she was 14 years old. But I don't think you guys want to hear that one.
Maybe for Arnie it would be hair or maybe a love life.
I don't know. You know, the only thing I can think of is like, the only thing I could want to find or that I want from 40 years ago would either be like baseball cards.
Right.
Or like,
but that they were yours.
They were mine. Well, I don't know what the hell happened to them. I don't know. You didn't throw out really much. Or maybe like a bicycle. I don't know what the hell happened to my orange 5-speed chopper.
That's funny. That's exactly what I had.
With the bicycle, banana seat bicycle. Yeah. I love that bike more than life itself. I don't know what ever happened to that, but I love that thing. I'd love to have that one back, Brady.
So you mentioned Donna. I'd go with Patty in my case. So
you'd like to find Patty 40 years later?
Just I guess that's called Facebook, right?
Yeah. You do that on Facebook.
I've lost two baseball gloves in my life, both of which I'd like back. I had a nice black glove when I was like 8 living in North Carolina that I have no idea what happened to it. And I had a Ken Griffey Jr. replica glove that was a Kingdome giveaway.
Oh, jeez.
That I used to play with. I took it to my aunt's house in Southern California, never saw it again. I would like to know. It's somewhere in her garage. Still, 25 years later, she hasn't found it yet, but I would like to know where that is.
Gone and not forgotten. All right. There you go.
Maybe an old bike. You know, you're right. I this isn't an easy question, but it'd be fun to put this on the text line. I'd love to know what people think. Is there anything that hits you that it doesn't have to be 40 years ago, just something from your childhood?
Yeah, well, that's not 40 years ago.
Us, it is.
Yeah,
like for Brady, he would have been minus, 14?
Matt Burlington said a Pedro Martinez action figure.
We may have one of those in this room.
Jeez, yeah, we have a lot of that stuff. Alex Among says Arnie wants his dignity and self-respect.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, 40 years ago, I probably lost it back then. That's true.
Fletcher says, my baseball glove my stupid dog ate was never able to find another like it. It was broken to perfection, the little bastard. Yes. Yeah, remember breaking in new gloves? The trick for us was to put it under our mattress.
Yeah, and tie it with a baseball.
Yeah, just grease it all up and then tie it up
oil.
And put it
get
under your
oil. Yeah.
Oil. That's right, and then put it under your mattress. Yeah. Sleep on it for about a week.
Yep, I always used to just sit and pound it, pound the baseball into the glove.
Yeah,
you grease it up. These people that want to like put specialty oil on it and put it in the oven and stuff like that, these people are doing it wrong. All you need is a little Barbasol shaving cream. You can get it for $1.49. Barbasol shaving cream, soften up that pad, soften up the palm of the glove. That's the perfect way to break in a glove.
That's what I would use the shaving cream in people's houses.
Yeah, Barbasol.
What you do is you take a lighter, you know, and you And you
light their house on fire?
No, you take the lighter to the shaving cream and you close it shut, and then you take a pinhole and you put it through it. Hardens like that, and it comes shooting, flying out like
really?
Silly string.
I'm going to have to try that after
the
show.
It's pretty funny. It's
Doug in St. Albans says, I'd like to have the sanity of my 8-year-old self.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't remember what the hell I was doing at 8 years old. I don't remember that far back.
Same thing I'm doing now.
If I could, the only thing I remember is my aunt's car, cherry red convertible Mustang. I'd love to have one of those old muscle car backs, man. But you know, I was too young to have a car like that.
Luke in Burlington, CJ Knutson, my boss, former boss with the Connecticut Tigers and former Lake Monster big guy there, borrowed my first base mitt freshman year at Rice in 1989. I transferred it and never got it back. I am at peace with it, though. So I'm sure I'll talk to CJ over the next couple of years. I saw him in the press box at Centennial a couple of weeks ago. I should have asked him.
Well, maybe. Funny. Maybe it'll appear in Ohio in 20 more years.
Right. So, or Florida.
I mean, I guess people talk about finding like high school rings or stuff like that. You know what I mean? From back in the day. Or Letterman's jackets that you had when you were in high school and find it many years later.
I guess in a good way, and it's good for us not to move forward into our elderly status that we're about to hit without any regrets about things that we don't have anymore.
I'd never had anything. So what?
Me neither.
I didn't have anything worth value.
A bike and a cat. And guess what I have now? A bike and a cat.
That's pretty much it. I don't even have the bike anymore. So there you go. That's all I got in my life. Brady, let's get to the top 4 and 4. What do we got going on tonight?
We've got 3 hours to cover every day, but here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top 4 and 4 on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Sounds a lot number like four. Say what guy, but go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
You always do that. You talk before he says.
Can't control himself.
Number four.
Yeah.
Number four on the top 4 and 4, Woodstock, Vermont native Keegan Bradley won the BMW Championship. It was his first PGA Tour win since 2012, and it moved him up from 52nd to 6th. In the FedEx Cup standings. First win in 6 years.
I only noticed it because he was a Vermont native. Otherwise, I wouldn't care anything about this story whatsoever. So I congratulate you. And I'm like, Brady should get this guy in the air. Maybe it'd be funny or something
We're trying.
He's a golfer. So I don't
We're working on it.
He's
how much,
a golfer.
Yeah, how much of a sense of humor can he have? So we'll see.
Oh, I just made a 100-foot putt. And the crowd's going nuts.
We're working on it.
I'll tell you. I think it's absolutely huge. I mean, first of all, you go from 52nd to 6th in one weekend and make a gazillion dollars for playing 4 rounds of golf. That's a pretty good deal. This is important. As you said, he hasn't had a PGA Tour win since 2012. He burst on the scene, and then all of a sudden he's just kind of meandered over the last 5 or 6 years, haven't really heard that much from him. And for him to come back and win something like that is huge, I think.
Trailed by 3 strokes, entering the final round on Monday, won it in a playoff over Justin Rose, who I believe is the new number one in the world, if I'm not mistaken, as well. This is cool. It's been a guy who, as you said, burst on the scene, has traveled a tough road over the last 6 years. Good job for him. It was his first win with his full family. He's got some young kids, so he said he'd been dreaming about the moment to celebrate with the whole family for a while. So good for him. Woodstock native Keegan Bradley back in the winner's circle.
Number three
in the top 4 and 4, Matt Patricia, former Pats defensive coordinator. You could say he struggled in his debut as the Lions head coach. His team was gashed all over the field by the New York Jets, 48-17.
Was I the only person that heard what was the announcer's name? What's her name? Beth
Mullins.
I'm pretty sure I heard this, but I guess nobody else picked it up when she goes, the Jets, J-U-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm like, isn't it J-E? But what the hell?
I know the part you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I think she said that.
I saw every play of that game.
I thought she said J-U, and maybe she kind of...
Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah, I think she kind of just, you know, maybe was a Freudian slip out there. I thought that was kind of funny. That was a debacle. Stafford, oh my goodness, man. He looked horrible. And I know I can't put it on him all because the offensive line was disgusting.
Awful. And he's hurt.
By the way, did you see when they put in Matt Castle? And the first play, they're just bringing everybody in the kitchen sink, and Castle's like, geez, what the hell am I going to do?
Well, the play that brought out Matt Castle, I'm surprised Stafford is even breathing after that hit from two different people, including a helmet to his ribs.
I thought it was a dislocated collarbone, you know, the way he was running around on the ground
That was a mess. I mean, you can't, if you're a Lions fan, and I loved all the multiple shots, by the way, when the game got out of hand, they just kept showing Lions fans.
Oh, that was
pretty funny.
That was awesome. The big guy wearing like fur with the sunglasses, whatever that outfit is, that is cool. I like that.
Lions struggle. Patricia doesn't add to the perception that Belichick assistants can't win, or rather he adds to that perception. He doesn't take away from it. Belichick assistants continue to struggle as head coaches. You can't pin it all on Patricia. He didn't throw 5 interceptions. He didn't allow multiple big run backs on special teams, including 1 punt return touchdown for the Jets either. It will get better for the Lions, but it better get better quick because they're taking on the Patriots in week 3 on Sunday Night Football, and that doesn't appear to be a fun test waiting.
And I think they are at San Francisco next week, so that's a big game between 2-0-1 teams that absolutely have to win, because if Detroit doesn't win that game, you could be looking at 0-5 real quick.
The Huddle moving on, the top 4-4.
Number 2.
Red Sox back in action today after an off day. They take on the Blue Jays at Fenway Park. We've got the coverage for you at 6:25 here on 101.3 The Game. The big story, Chris Sale back on the mound today, making his first start since August 12th. He's been on the shelf for nearly a month, much of the last month and a half he's been on the disabled list. He's back out there again today.
Oh, he's going to make a limited start, so... I just want to make sure he gets to the end here. You know, you're getting close to the finish line of the marathon. You do want to keep his strength up. You want to get ready for the playoffs, but you certainly don't want to overpitch him. So let him get his innings in. Let him get his 3-4 innings in. Next start, maybe a little bit more, and then just get him ready for the end of the season.
He had a bullpen session, I think it was 2 days ago, where he had 101 or something, 100 and some crazy number for him anyway, on the gun, and that's all I needed to hear. He was laughing. He acted like he didn't have a care in the world. That being said, I still don't think they're throwing him out there for 7 innings tonight.
I don't care how he does even tonight. All I want to see is his location, is his velocity, does it stay consistent through his entire start, and does he get out of this pain-free? If he does those 3 things, I think the results will follow because he's that good. Do his pitches have movement? Can he hit location? And is he able to keep his velocity consistent?
See, I think it's important that he pitches well tonight because here's a guy with an 0.20 ERA or whatever it was in his last 7 or 8 starts. And then he pitched a 1-hitter over 5 innings in his last start in which he re-injured his arm. Do you think that if he goes out there and gives up 5 runs in an inning and a third, there isn't cause for concern?
I think I think the 2 things are hand in hand. I guess what I'm saying is if he does everything that I want to see, good results will follow. I don't envision him throwing 98 underneath the right-hander's hand and giving up home runs. I don't think that's going to happen. If he pitches the way that he can pitch, which is hit location and have his pitches moving, he's going to dominate whether he's out there for 2 innings or 6 innings. I guess where you're saying follows what I'm saying. If his slider's flat, if he can't get on top of his off-speed pitches, if he's 94 instead of 98 and his pitches are over the fat part of the plate, that's when you get hit. So a bad result would follow what I'm saying. I'm just saying I want to see him do these things, and if he does them well, there's not going to be a bad result to follow. We move on here. The Huddle, top 4 at 4.
Number 1.
The Patriots have tried to address their wide receiver issues. They've brought in former first-round pick Corey Coleman, who was drafted by the Browns, then traded to the Bills before being cut late in this offseason. They also brought in former Broncos special teamer, mainly Benny Fowler. The Coleman move is the big one.
Yeah, I actually like that. I don't know what his problem was with Buffalo and why they traded. Well, they traded him because of the Josh Gordon, right, in 2016. Or they just, I guess, didn't have room. I don't know how you not have room for a guy when you're as crappy as them. So I think they're getting good value here. What, first round draft selection?
Yeah.
He's probably a guy that's going to benefit from Belichick. So I think it's a good move. I mean, if it pans out, this was a good move. This guy has talent. He played at Baylor. A lot of different lineups for this guy when he played for Baylor. Crazy offenses. He doesn't have to really have that in New England. He's going to be just fine.
Classic Belichick brings in a high draft pick who has underachieved no matter where he's gone and is just going to try to.
He was good in college.
He had to have been if he was. What was he? A 13th pick, I think, overall, something like that. He was picked very, very high out of college. There's got to be a reason for that. He must have the natural skills. He's just not been able to adapt to the Browns or to the Buffalo Bills, which is hard to imagine. Sure, why not? I just think this is a stopgap to getting Edelman back after week four.
Look, it's a good move because they need bodies, and then you need bodies with potential, but I don't think that it ultimately matters, especially early. Corey Coleman's a guy who was cut from a team that went 0-16 a year ago. If you can't make a team that went 0-16, I have a hard time believing you're going to come and turn a complete 180 and be good on a team that wants to play for a Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills might be the worst team in football this year, and he couldn't make that team either. And the reports were that he couldn't learn the offense. He's not a visual learner. He needs to get repetitions to learn it. People already are saying Belichick and Brady won't have patience for this guy. He might not be on the roster by the time Edelman gets back.
And the funny thing is, the timing may not be a coincidence. Coleman's biggest game as a pro, 6-catch, 80-yard performance against Jalen Ramsey and the
Jags.
Didn't
they give him a year contract?
This weekend.
They did give him a year, but they also gave Eric Decker a year. They also gave Jordan Matthews a year. So it's all about the guaranteed money. The thing I would say that is interesting, I don't know that this move matters in the short term. I don't even know that he makes a difference this season because of his inability to learn offenses at the NFL level. But remember, Philip Dorsett, a whole year last year of learning, a whole year of being largely ineffective, well, it's manifested itself through the preseason, through 1 week of the regular season there. Maybe there's a reclamation project in there that's a long-term reclamation project like Philip Dorsett, but to come out here and think that he's going to go 8 for 85 this week. I just don't see any way that it's possible.
There you go. The top four at four when we get back. Former 12-year vet of the Patriots, linebacker, it's Willie McGinnis. He's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game.
4-7.
It's the huddle on the Champlain Valley Sports Station. 101.3 The Game.
Wow. Two Rush songs already.
Wow.
This is good.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is a busy Tuesday. Remember, we'll be at the Burger Bar Trivia tonight, so I'll be hosting. So.
And Half Price Wings tonight.
Oh, nice. Be there or be square. Yeah,
despite the fact that Arnie won't be hosting, you should come by anyway.
Wow.
Make sure you wear your Patriots shirt.
And come by Sunday to watch the game with me.
Yeah. Don't worry.
And you will not leave until the bitter end. And Brady will be there, too.
Yeah.
And you will not leave till the bitter end. Final score. 48-3, Jacksonville. And you don't get to leave even a second early. I'm going to block the exits and make you look at the score. And then we're all going to take pictures together with the scoreboard of the final score up on the TV.
You're just an awful
I am an
being.
Awful being. So be there and have fun.
What did your parents think of you growing up?
I'm an awful human being. My parents... Well,
were
my
you
mom
always
did,
like this?
My mom didn't like me. She liked my brother. Matter of fact, you know what's so funny?
Figure.
I can record a phone conversation with my mom to this day. I can call her like at the break. And you know what the first thing she'll say to me was, did you speak to your brother? That's the first thing. Did you speak to your brother? That's all she cares about. Not me. Nobody cares about me.
I don't understand that.
Brady, what's this article about Eli Apple?
This has me more excited about the Giants than I was yesterday. The more I really started to think about the game critically, Eli Apple played very well on Sunday.
I said I was encouraged, but go ahead.
Yes, I said I was discouraged, and I still largely am. But a couple of things have me more encouraged than yesterday. Eli Apple and Odell Beckham Jr. playing well are two of them. And it's not so much just that they played well. It's that they were given the opportunity to play well by Giants management. Eli Apple nearly played himself out of town last year. Landon Collins called him a cancer on the Michael Kay show. This guy was dead in the water in New York. He was a nobody, and he was probably on his way out the door. Giants management, Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur came in, said, we will start it fresh with everybody here who has been rubbed the wrong way by the previous administration or has rubbed other people the wrong way. OBJ, Eli Apple, Eric Flowers will give clean slates to all of them. And two of the three, Beckham, 11 catches for 121, and Apple being the other one, they took those opportunities and have run with them. Again, I don't know.
You don't know how good Jacksonville's offense is, though.
You've got him putting the 48 on the Patriots.
Well, I'm hoping.
Yes.
Maybe only 47. But
I mean, Apple had two passes defended, tight coverage on the sideline, caused third down failures for the Jacksonville offense. Look, and I don't know that the Jacksonville offense is great, but I know that Eli Apple was getting torched last year and on the bench for a good portion of the year. So this is an improvement on that. I like that the Giants are getting through to these players who have been, quote, problems in the past.
Well, Kettleman's always been known as kind of a no-nonsense guy, and he comes in there and says, all right, here's the deal, as you said, we're going to wipe the slate clean. I mean, the fact that even if Eli Apple hadn't done anything great in that loss to Jacksonville the other day, just show that you're engaged. Show that you give a bleep about the team, because he certainly, you know, you talked about Landon Collins just coming out and calling him a blatant liar and giving up on plays and just showing a complete lack of interest over the last couple of weeks of the season. He just turned 23. I think it was in August. So, I mean, I know that's not necessarily an excuse, but I agree with you. If you can bring a new regime in and a new attitude, then why not try?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't 7 or 10 of those points that Jackson would come off, like, direct turnovers?
Well, Miles Jack had an interception.
Right, well, yeah, the 7, right?
So, I mean, so huge.
But, and the second one was off a turnover, too, or no? I don't remember. Not run back for one, but.
Anyway. Eli only had one interception.
Okay, so.
Well, the only other, the dropped punt at the end.
Right.
That gave
him
no chance.
Just the Miles Jack is 7 out of the 20. So you held him to 13 points. And I still think there was one other turnover. I don't remember. But anyway, that's pretty damn good. But again, I don't know how good Jacksonville offense is. We'll have to find out when they're playing home against the Patriots this weekend, especially without Leonard Fournette. But I always thought that was encouraging for the Giants. I just need Eli to step up and play a little bit better. I think they're going to be fine this year.
I just love the idea of new management being able to get through to these guys. And I want to know why Eric Flowers hasn't gotten on board with this. He didn't show up early at the voluntary minicamp. He wasn't receptive at first to a position change. And, well, we haven't heard a lot negative from him recently. We also haven't heard anything positive from him recently. We've heard Eli Apple talk about, you know, needing to grow up. We've heard him embrace this new management. We've heard OBJ say, hey, they gave me a chance. I'm appreciative of that. We started this slate clean. I want to be good for them. We have heard those type of sound bites. I want to know why Eric Flowers, for as much credit as I'm willing to give Dave Gellman and Pat Shurmur, why is Eric Flowers why are they not able to get through to him?
And it's going to be interesting with Flowers because, as you said, they're giving all these second chances, new regimes starting all over. Flowers is aware of that. He knows he's got an opportunity here. If he continues to play like he has played, then how long are they going to wait?
Maybe they just gave a new leaf because they couldn't get rid of those contracts. So maybe that's why they're like, well, we'll give you one more chance because we can't trade you guys. We can't get full value in. Really, there's nothing a whole heck of a lot we can do. So, we'll try it all over again. These guys are good players anyway. So, again, when you go 3-13, there's so much blame to go around, and you're blaming Eli and Eli Apple and Eli Manning, and you're just blaming everybody. And it's not as bad as you think when you're going through 3-13.
Little breaking news with the Patriots. Not a huge move, but they had 3 open roster spots today. They've signed Corey Coleman and Benny Fowler,
yes,
wide receivers. They have added to that. They have signed running back Kenyon Barner, the former star out at Oregon, who hasn't done much in the NFL, but he's another running back. He replaces Jeremy Hill on this roster, and he's a guy with significant punt returning experience. So when you cut Riley McCarron, you're waiting for Julian Edelman to get back there. Well, Kenyon Barner perhaps fills that role.
What's up with Sony Michel? What's going on with that guy, huh?
Good question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out from Field Yates when we talk to him tomorrow, but yeah. We thought he was going to play last week, and then he popped up on the injury report at the end of the week.
I thought he would get like a couple of carries, nothing too extravagant or anything, especially when they were up by 14 points.
Well, he was out.
Yeah,
he was ruled
out. But I thought that just coming on in, if he was going to be okay to play, they were going to get him. And I know he was hurt that bad, though, because he came back to practice after missing those 12 practices.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, so we should be able to get him into the game, a couple runs, and then boom, no good.
Well, two first-round picks, one isn't going to play a down, and the other one hasn't played a down. So far this season, I know we're one game in, and we'll see 10 weeks from now, but it's disconcerting.
Well, Barner has spent time with the Panthers and Eagles, back to the Panthers and Eagles.
Life in the NFL, and not.
I love it. All right, Brady, we got to finish off the hour. We got Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. That will finish off hour number two. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game. Join the...
It's Tuesday, so that means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to Elmwood Meunier Funeral Homes and Cremation Center in Burlington. It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Rich, real quick, what did my wife write in on the traffic? What the hell did she write in there?
Hang on. Accident on the 89, spoken like a true Californian. The 89.
The 89 southbound.
I am stopped or that 189 merges.
She stopped heading southbound on 89 where 89 and 189 converge.
Okay.
There you go, Rich.
Okay, that's a bad spot for an accident.
And Vince says, Arnie, thanks for getting the great guest on the show. You've taken it to a whole new level since you've got here. Thank you, Vince.
Is that a compliment from Vince?
I think he's just taking a shot at Brady.
I think he's trying to rub me the wrong way.
No, but it's something not negative. Well, sort of.
Oh, I love it. All right, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier, Gone But Not Forgotten. Remember, they've been with us from the very beginning. They're open 24/7 in South Burlington. Give them the call in your time of need, whether it's a green burial, sports theme burial, Elmwood Meunier. I'll start things off. Of course, we don't need to say it, but we'll say it anyway. Our thoughts and prayers to everybody that had passed away at 9/11 back in 2001. That's mostly what we're thinking about today. Another person that passed away in the sports world, Johnny Unitas.
Remember,
Johnny Unitas, 69 years old, died of a heart attack on this day. Quarterback of the Baltimore Colts and Chargers?
He played for the Chargers for a little bit at the very end.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
So after John Hadle retired.
Johnny Unitas. So rest in peace, Gone But Not Forgotten.
I loved him so much as a kid, I used to sign all my second grade papers, Johnny Unitas Haskell. True story. In fact, I've got proof. I'll bring it in sometime.
You don't own anything material but your second grade homework you have.
I have this giant trunk that I have not opened up in 20 years full of crap from my childhood.
Oh, I'm sure it's very valuable. So, I bet something in there might be valuable.
No, but that's where all my baseball cards are. There could be an Honest Wagner sitting in there for all I know.
Wow.
Gone But Not Forgotten, support for chair umpire Carlos Ramos.
Yes.
And a lot of officials are quite shaken by what they perceive as a lack of official support for Carlos Ramos, the chair ump, given that his actions against Serena Williams during Saturday were well within the rules. The umpiring fraternity is, quote, thoroughly disturbed at being abandoned by the WTA.
I don't blame them.
You think the tennis world's scared of Serena? I think maybe.
You're damn right. You? Of course. She runs tennis.
Yes, and her father. I mean, her father runs tennis, too. So.
He does.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. Well, he probably doesn't run tennis if he's not alive. Is he gone but not forgotten as well?
Yes, he's alive. But how does her father have anything to do with
it? Oh, her father was crazy in the early years. I'm not saying he is anymore. But remember, he was screaming at everybody. He was LeVar Ball before LeVar Ball existed.
I'll go gone but not forgotten. One of the good guys in the NFL, Greg Olsen, out for, it looks like between 8 to 10 weeks or so. The Panthers tight end for a second straight year has broken his foot. Last year, he missed 8 games with the injury. He injured it in week 2. This week, he injured it in week 1.
I know. And
Greg Olsen is one of the good ones in the NFL. He's going to be a broadcaster when it's all said and done. He already thought about maybe retiring and getting the Monday Night Football job that Jason Witten ended up getting. He's done a lot of work for disease. He's got a kid who's got a very serious health issue and has been battling it for their whole life, and he's had a really touching family story. So gone but not forgotten for this half of the first, this first half of the season to Greg Olsen.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that went on down. I mean, really took a shot and gone for the year. We talk about Goodwin, the wide receiver for San Francisco.
Jeremy Hill.
I thought it was Aaron Rodgers, the way they carted him off the field.
Delaney Walker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. Gone but not forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Remember, they got green burials. They've got sports theme burials. They got pet burials. Give them a call in your time of need. Elmwood Meunier in South Burlington. So, and they've been with us for like 2 years now. Yeah. So,
ever since you showed up,
I know.
what are we?
That's because you get the great guests. That's
exactly.
Why.
That's bothering you that Vince put that in there.
No, it's fine.
It's killing you. It's killing
we
you.
We get great guests. Team effort.
Yeah, there you go. No, I get all the good guests.
Actually, I get no guests.
Yeah,
I get about one a year.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I got one. I got one guess.
You did. You did get us one. I don't remember who, but you did get us one.
I think it was good.
So between Arnie and I.
Oh, that guy Rich Ornberger, the former Patriot. He was funny.
Yes,
he was very funny. We got to get him on again. There's some good stories he has. Definitely about that.
You would think with all your connections, Arnie.
Then I would have, but nobody likes me.
You would think that. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Nobody likes me, so I can't do that. All right, Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Then we'll get you ready for Tom Caron. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle, 101.3 The Game.
This is 101.3 The Game. Now 3 to 6 every day. The huddle takes you home.
The Red Sox are routing the New York Yankees tonight.
On 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3, The Game. Did
nice
I say that
job.
So fast? Yeah, I said that so fast, you didn't even know what the hell I said there. Tom Caron joining us mere seconds away, so Brady will get him on the line.
I'm just deciphering your wife's, it's
well, she said, because she was talking about Elwood Meunier. They're in Burlington, not South Burlington. That's
no.
What she meant.
Okay. Yeah. She's saying there's an accident at
I-89
where 189 merges.
Yes.
This is southbound.
Yes.
So basically,
yes.
If you're trying to get on 189 coming from the north going south, don't do it.
Yeah.
Get off at the Burlington South Burlington double exit Cloverleaf there, or you're out of luck.
She just texted me and said, you'll probably get home before me.
No.
That's what
she
said. Is it that bad? What?
Anytime there's a mess on 189 at 5 o'clock on a weekday, yeah, that's not good. Or anywhere around that.
Yeah,
that
but it blocks both lanes?
No.
Well, it has to, because it's at a standstill right now.
Well, it shouldn't be. The only part, it's one lane or the other, unless you have cars strewn over both sides.
There was a terrible accident in Los Angeles on the 405. You wouldn't know
it. It was a shocker.
Yeah, and like five lanes were just at a stop. There was a food truck in one of the lanes. They pulled over on the side of the freeway, and people started buying food from them and sodas. Oh, they jacked up their prices a little bit.
No.
But it was great, man.
That's a shock.
They were showing the helicopters were overhead flying, and they were showing them selling food. And people would get out of their cars on the freeway, but they were stopped anyway.
It's so
California. To go buy food. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, it's so California.
I remember last year just being out there, and I've never seen so many defeated-looking people as they were in traffic jams on the I-5 out by Los Angeles. Just everybody just sitting there. Nobody's paying attention to the fact that they haven't moved for 25 minutes.
When was the first time that first text my wife sent in? Can you tell me the time?
4:53.
She just texted. It's what, 5:03. So 10 minutes later, she goes, I haven't even gotten exit 12 yet. So
oh, no. All right. Well, don't say we didn't warn you. And it's interesting because my daughter who lives in Tahoe in Northern California says the I-5, which is, of course, the major road up there, has been closed for days because of this fire.
Damn.
Because of the fires.
Yeah,
you can't even you can't see the road.
And they're canceling some of the college football, right, this weekend because of the hurricane down there in the Carolinas.
They've moved Ohio and Virginia to...
And a couple of North Carolina
moved
games.
Ohio and Virginia. I don't remember where, but they've moved it. I know that.
Well, it sounds like Wilmington, North Carolina. Beautiful town.
I remember
sounds like they're directly going to
I remember
hit.
Like one Tampa Bay Buccaneer game playing in a downpour.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a hurricane or something.
I remember that game.
It was
then
like
kept on
the
playing.
The water was flowing down the stairs.
Yes.
Seriously, like a constant flow.
Right.
I don't even know how, forget about sitting there. I don't know how you could walk up the stairs with the way the water was coming
down. Well, what happened with that Dolphins game the other night, that just never used to happen. I mean, if lightning, and if they didn't care, they played in, you could have had funnel clouds over the stadium and they'd still play, but that's not how it works anymore.
First time texter, Arnie needs a chopper in the air for these traffic updates. You must know a pilot from L.A. Yeah, why don't we get a 101.3 helicopter?
Ah, there's a cow crossing the road in Hinesburg.
And we could have Rich go up there and give the traffic
there's
in the morning.
No chance.
Why?
I would ever get in a helicopter for any reason.
Why?
Only as a patient.
Did you ever do a hot air balloon?
Never.
No.
I'd be terrified of a hot air balloon.
They went right by me, and sometimes they get out of control and have the guy starts screaming, we're out of control, and he'll put down the rope and we'll try to help. No, I'm serious.
I believe you.
Yeah. I videoed one of him landing right next to a house.
One went right by my I live on the third floor. One went right by my building the other day, like directly into a tree almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can't they control their elevation by blowing the hot air, the fire up into the balloon?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to control the direction, though,
too.
Yeah,
no question. You're pretty much at the mercy, I think, aren't you?
Yeah. So
I always wonder if you're over
dangerous.
The lake. If you're out of the obviously you control the elevation when you're over the lake, but
I've seen what do they call those parasailing things where people are over the lake and get like dropped down into the water?
Well, parasailing is on the lake.
Yeah, but, no, yeah, but
hang gliding?
No, but you're high up on a parachute, right?
Well, yeah, but you want to drop into the lake at some point.
No, you're supposed to come down gradually, not fall down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
where you accidentally, you accidentally slip from the harness.
Actually, that looks like fun. I see that off in the Colchester end of the Burlington bike path a lot.
It's not
they have
fun.
A crew up there.
I did the bungee jumping. That wasn't fun.
No. Why would anyone do that?
That was stupid.
Ugh.
Absolutely stupid. Worst thing I ever did in my life. I would take that back in a second. The memories haunt me to this day, though. It's like a nightmare when I do that.
Brian in Richmond says, thank you so much to Arnie's wife. I was on 189 and took the South Burlington exit. Thank you very much.
There you go. We're here to save your time.
Oh, is that what TYVM stands
for? Yes, thank you very much.
It was a misspell.
I thought it was TUVM.
I'm like, boy, Brian in Richmond can't even write
that.
What the
hell is TUVM?
What the hell is he talking about?
Is he drunk?
That's unbelievable.
That's slang for thank you very much.
All right, where's Tom Karen? He's a little late today or what?
We're working on it.
We're efforting it. We're efforting Tom Karen, so we'll get a hold of TCI. I saw that his son is going to be playing at the Burger Bar.
He's already played at the Burger Bar.
Yep. I know, but he's going to be playing coming up again.
Coming around Thanksgiving,
oh.
He's going to play there again, and TC is going to come hang out with us at trivia those days, I think.
Look at that. Coming up to see his son play at the Burger Bar. If there was one thing I could do, I wish I could play the saxophone. I do. Oh,
where does this stuff come from?
What are you talking about the band? I wish I could play a saxophone, and that way I could be in a band just all the time. I would love that. That is like the best.
There aren't too many bands that call for a regular saxophone player.
I know, but I think that's the coolest. Ever since I saw Bill Clinton play one, remember?
Yeah.
I'm like, that is so cool. I've got to learn. And I actually got a saxophone from a buddy of mine, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't even make any noise. No music came out, no nothing. I just like, I couldn't even make
the strangest music. Things that you wish you could have done in life.
But you don't wish you could play music? You didn't wish you could,
no.
You know?
Well, what about, you ever see Dave Grippo? Of course you have, if you've been at any sporting event in Vermont. Now, there's a guy who can play the sax in any situation.
The guy who plays the national anthem at the UVM game.
Okay,
and
he
played it at the South Burlington game a couple weeks ago. Talk about a joy.
Oh, I want to do that so bad.
All right, well, maybe he'll give you a lesson.
Yeah, I would need a million lessons.
Yes, you would.
I wanted to get that, not the piano, but the keyboard where it tells you what to press. You know, lights up.
Right.
So then you can play without ever knowing how to play.
Right. The player piano.
Yeah,
so
that's the player piano. Yes.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
Those went out about, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I'm wondering. Bring them back. I need that. That's for sure.
Arnie, you would like to know this real quick.
Yeah.
The Herald Sun of Australia that's put out the controversial Serena Williams cartoon that we have on our Facebook page.
Yes.
You can look at it.
Getting a lot of comments on that.
They are coming out tomorrow. Their cover is Welcome to the PC World. And it is a bunch of caricatures of what I would imagine to be famous people that are blown up and exaggerated like Serena, and they say, like, forbidden, can't talk about this, barred from talking about that.
Are they former people that were on their cover before as caricatures or cartoons? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know who they all are.
Wow. What a way to fight back social media or fight back social injustice, I guess.
You can't post anything.
I think that's awesome. What we're talking about is the cartoon of Serena Williams that was put in an Australian newspaper.
Melbourne, yeah.
Is that like what the
it's like the New York Daily News of Melbourne.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to tell
me. Tabloid.
What was the tabloid we had here? The National Enquirer.
Enquirer.
It wasn't so it's not like that or anything.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
All right, but on the cover was this was on the cover too. Of Serena Williams smashing her racket, jumping up and down on the racket.
Yep.
With a baby pacifier next to her.
Yep.
Let's be honest, the cartoon was not favorable.
No, to Serena.
To Serena.
Well, nor should it be after that performance. Doesn't she deserve this?
But they made Osaka look good looking.
Well, they just, that could have been done a little different. It's basically a white blonde tennis player looking up at the umpire, and the umpire saying, can you just let her win?
Because she's throwing a tantrum.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Someone did say on our Facebook page that Osaka has been known to wear blonde hair. If that means anything to you.
What, like a wig?
No, that she... You know,
or just dye her
people
hair.
People do dye their hair.
No, but she doesn't... A ponytail? She doesn't have that... She doesn't have straight hair. It's like... It's short and round or something.
Yeah, but I think
it's short and round.
I don't think she can get a ponytail
out
of her hair.
Wow, that girl has awfully round hair.
No, I don't think she can get a ponytail if she wanted to. I don't think it would grow like that.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
She has a ponytail?
Yeah.
Right
that's pretty
here.
Close. That looks a lot like the comic.
So she dyes it blonde, or she just goes ahead and does that?
I just think what she looks like is not the point of this. I can't believe people are up in arms. I guess the size of Serena's lips and nose could be construed as something that might be racist a little bit. But other than that, I think it's hilarious, especially the pacifier.
But all their other cartoons are like that, though.
Yes, this guy has been doing this forever. He's extremely well known in Australia for his comic renderings.
Look at all the—I mean, I've had characters drawn of me, and you know, they do big head, little body,
right.
Big feet, big hands, small hands, whatever.
I mean,
glasses are overdrawn or whatever it is.
How many does Trump get of him a day?
Oh yeah, you see a million of those.
Yep.
I mean, he's a public figure, so is she. But he's the president, so it's a little bit different on that one. I just don't see where, because she got the point taken away and the game taken away, that's sexist. Now it's racist, right. All from this one incident.
And
I think we've taken it too far.
And they're saying using exaggerated imagery for comic effect is one of the most characteristic moves of the comic medium. I mean, that's right.
I thought you were going to tell me it was one of the worst things you could do. I'm like, that's what they do.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Clay Travis, our morning guy, yeah. You can hear him 6 to 9 a.m. right here on this station, 101.3 The Game. He talked a little more about Serena today. I thought this was interesting.
Just own it. Just own it. John McEnroe, when he got into it with people, didn't say that his argument, or Jimmy Connors, was about being discriminated against because of his sex. When you are an athlete and you argue with an umpire, they treat everybody the same, okay? Everybody gets treated the same when they yell at umpires. Take and respect and own your personal responsibility for getting into an argument.
Yeah, it never occurred
Bravo.
To me
Bravo.
That Ily Nastasi, and remember him, nasty, what they called him, Nasty Nastasi,
yeah.
And Jimmy Connors, and all these guys are screaming and yelling. Never occurred to me to go, oh, wow, that guy can't do that. He's white, or he's a male, or who cares?
Yeah, but I totally disagree with the back half of Clay's sentence there. And I like Clay, but where he says that, when you yell at an umpire or an official, they treat everyone the same, that's patently not true. You absolutely know that people go into games with reputations that precede them. People go into games with knowledge about them from the official. Oh, hey, or same thing as players. Referees know, hey, Beckham and Norman are going against each other. We better watch them a little tighter today than we watched that other matchup on the outside. They know, hey, this guy has a knack for getting on the officials. Don't let him get away with it. Just like I know going into games, hey, this official will run you quicker than that official will because he's got a shorter temper. People know that stuff. That's patently not true.
But that being said, would you agree they gave her a longer podium to let it rip, so to speak, because of the fact that it was Serena Williams? If this is the number 274 ranked woman in the world, that person isn't getting nearly the amount of time, and they're bringing other people onto the court. The whole thing.
I wouldn't say that because she didn't get a warning first. Generally, I mean, what do you see when you see in baseball, right? Okay, guy throws at somebody. What do? Generally, they give both dugouts now get a warning. Okay, you don't get thrown out without a warning very often. Manager comes out. He gets in the umpire's face. The umpire takes it a little bit and he says, all right, Alex Cora, go back to your dugout. Go back to your dugout. When Alex Cora refuses to go back to the dugout, then he gets tossed. So Serena didn't get, look, the call's made. Could very well be correct, okay? We can hate the rule about coaching and all that stuff. The rules might have been enforced correctly, but just to say, she got a longer leash to yell, that's not true.
Really?
She didn't get a warning even.
More than the 270th ranked woman.
She didn't even get a warning on when he notices her coaching from the box, they don't say, hey, Serena, I picked up on your coach over there, which is what a lot of officials will do. They just said, okay, point violation right there. There's no warning.
I don't like that I'm a mother. You know, I have a child and all that.
What does that have to do with
anything? It has nothing to do with anything. So,
I agree.
You know, the fact that you're bringing that up, I'm sure.
Maybe, remember the guy, was it like 2 months ago, and I couldn't even begin to tell you, was absolutely freaked out on the tennis court, destroyed his racket, went crazy on the court. Is he going to yell and scream that he's a father? I mean, what does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. She just got very emotional. She just totally lost it. She didn't maintain her composure, and that's what she's supposed to do. She completely lost it on the court, and she was wrong, and that's why she got what she got.
Don't you think that players and officials and coaches go in knowing who exactly they're dealing with, and they have a a general knowledge of what someone's disposition is, and they know that they need to act a certain way according to that. Don't you know that if you're doing a Yankee game in the 1970s, that Billy Martin's going to treat you a little bit differently than some other manager? That's where I disagree with Clay, saying, oh, all officials treat all players the same when they're getting yelled at. No, they don't. If I know that you're a guy with a short temper, guess what? I'm going to have a shorter temper with you also.
I agree with that.
Trevor and St. Albans were failing to remember this all took place in a time span of 10 minutes or less. She kept badgering after the fact. Three warnings over the course of the match would probably go without a point taken and such, but over 10 minutes, it's different. So you're right. Yeah. She did drag it on a long time.
Oh
she was sitting there pouting, crying.
It.
And Coach Craybout said, yeah, he was coaching, but they do that all the time. Well, you cheated, but everybody cheats is what you're telling me. So I have no sympathy for you on something like that. I'm glad you got fined. For her to throw a tantrum like that, though, and everybody to take her side and not take the referee side, I think is wrong. I don't know what the hell is wrong with everybody out there, Brady.
Look, you can take the referee side and still disagree with Clay, I think. Again, where Clay Travis says, and you can hear him on this station every morning, he says, oh, referees all treat you the same when they're getting yelled at. You know if you yell at the referee, you're going to get treated like that. That is not true.
Yeah.
The guy who has if Greg Maddux went out and argued with an umpire, you tell me he's going to get run with the same frequency that David Wells would have gotten run at? Absolutely not, because one guy goes in with a reputation and one guy doesn't.
Right, those guys know how to pick the fight. And that goes vice versa to umpires. Managers, players know exactly the size of the fuse of an umpire before you got to pick your battles.
Who is that NBA ref that threw out Tim Duncan? Was Tim Duncan just looked at him?
And I think he smiled at him.
Yeah,
didn't
he smiled at him. And that who was that referee? Do we remember? I think I heard him on Dan Patrick. He had to take a psychological test because of that. They made him take a test because of that.
The NBA is a good example. If I look, is Rasheed Wallace and Boogie Cousins, Draymond Green? Okay, if Draymond Green does something, he's going to get a technical
absolutely
a lot quicker than your nice guy who's on the bench.
Absolutely.
By the way, it was Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford, that's who it was. They made, they made him take a psych test. By the way, look up the record of Joey Crawford when he referees San Antonio Spur games. It is something. It is disgusting. It is Spurs are like 1-18 or something like that.
That's hard to do in their case.
Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. And joining us now, as he does every week, it's our Nesson Insider. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, TC?
Great. How are we doing, boys?
Oh, we're doing awesome. Sales coming back. What are you expecting with him in the start?
Two innings. You know, dominant for two innings.
Just two? Wow.
Yeah, it's all it's going to be. Two innings, 40 pitches tonight. He's the opener. This is right out of the Kevin Cash playbook. He's going to have a very short start, and they'll add, 15 pitches over the course of four starts. So, 49, 55 next time, 70 the time after that, 85, and then you're ready for 100 in the playoffs. I mean, that is the plan. It might be the most important 2 days of the season for the Red Sox. How he pitches tonight and how he feels when he gets to the ballpark tomorrow pretty much going to dictate what your chances are in October.
TC, the weekend with Houston, I thought, is only important if one team wins all three games. That Sunday victory was huge to me. How did you take it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it was massive. It was just like the two games they won in Houston, after losing the first two. You got to be able to show you can fight back. You got to be able to show you can win those games. And the bullpen's got some real issues after that collapse. We saw it Friday night and they lose the game. Then they give up the 5-2 lead on Sunday night. So to stop the bleeding there, to get the walk-off hit, I agree. I think that's a massive sigh of relief that the Red Sox still feel they're as good as anybody.
TC, the Sunday bullpen collapse, I'm not going to say it didn't bother me, but I don't look at it as a huge thing because I don't see Brandon Workman and Brian Johnson throwing big innings in the playoffs. I mean, did the Red Sox withhold anything, any gamesmanship in that series? They didn't bring in this guy for fear of showing off too much?
I don't know if it's that as much as it's trying guys in situations. I think 98 wins now afford you the opportunity to experiment with pitchers in different decisions. And, I thought bringing in Ryan Brazier on Friday night, I don't think you're going to see him come in with two guys on in a two-run game in the seventh. I'd be surprised if you do, but they want to see if he could. I mean, if he got through that, then maybe you would see him in that role, right? So it's an audition. And I think that's what you're going to see a lot of. I asked Alex Cora before the game about some of the bullpen usage, over the course of the next few weeks, and I was pretty surprised to find out they're going to try to bring Steven Wright in with guys on base.
Ooh,
Now, I would never expect that from a knuckleballer, right? You're one pass ball away from those guys moving on. But they can do that right now. Because it doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter, right? I mean, they're going to win this thing. They're going to clinch it. And this gives them the chance to play around with some relievers and starters and see what they can do, like Eovaldi out of the pen tonight.
TC, that's one of the word you just used, audition, is a word I saw Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston use. I know one of your guys' media rivals, but he said they're auditioning at bullpen and they're auditioning at third base by how much we've seen Brandon Phillips. Do you read that as a bad thing, or is that okay at this point of the year?
It's not what you would expect from a 98 win, a team closing in on history. But it's fine because it means you have multiple options. And, you know, the fact that Brandon Phillips has a first baseman's mitt, he's going to get some time over at first base, shows you they're thinking about different ideas at different positions. So, yeah, I think it's unusual. I mean, a great team, an historically great team, usually means you have great players at every position and everything's locked up. That's not the case with this team, and what it does to Alex Cora, it allows him to put the best unit together for that first-round series, whether it's the Yankees or the A's.
DC, last 20 games, what's your goal? I mean, you got the division clinch. You're probably going to have the best record clinch. What do? Just get everything ready for the playoffs? Do you start resting people? Do you start bringing them back a little slowly? Do you start splitting time? What's your goals from here on out?
Well, here's one thing I know I want them, okay? It's easy to look at all these games and say nothing, none of it matters.
Right.
So, first of all, it matters to win the division, okay? The magic number's 11. You'll get that done, but you gotta get it done. So, right, you gotta keep the pedal to the metal.
Right.
And not let the Yankees suddenly creep to 4 or 5 games behind you, okay? And then panic in the streets of Boston. The other thing is you've got 6 of your last 18 games. 1/3 of your remaining schedule is against the New York Yankees.
Oof.
Chances are you're going to be very close to clinching by then, by the time you face them next week in New York, a week from tonight. But the one thing that I was thinking about the last couple of days, you know what you can do in those 6 games?
Yeah.
You can make the Yankees go to Oakland for a wild card game. You can make the wild card winner fly from a Wednesday night game in Oakland to a Friday game in Fenway. That's a huge difference from a team coming in from New York. I mean, it really is. You throw in the Yankees, and they finish here, right? They finish here on the last game of the season. You're going to make them go Boston to Oakland to Boston. Or you're going to make the Oakland A's, if they beat the Yankees, come in here from Oakland.
Wow.
Either way, that's a significant difference over a team coming up here from New York after a Wednesday night game. I think that's worth playing for.
That's at St. Michael's education.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I took geography,
yeah.
and I didn't do well, but there you go.
Eduardo Rodriguez, where does he fit in, especially in a seven-game series? Is he a bullpen guy? Does he start game 4? Where is he?
This is where I get to sound really cool. You know, I was talking with Dennis Eckersley about that this afternoon, we had a long conversation, and we kind of both suddenly agreed that maybe out of the bullpen is the best place for E-Rod. You know, he could be your David Price of last year. And I was thinking it would be Nathan Eovaldi because he's got such great velocity and he's struggled as a starter. But his command has been a mess too, you know? And I don't think you want a reliever with command issues. Now, E-Rod wasn't good Saturday in his second start, but I'm going to chalk that up to his second start back from the DL. There's rustiness. You got to give him a chance. I think this guy could be an important weapon out of the bullpen, you know, to start. So that means Eovaldi gets the start, but he would only get one start. He'd be your game 4 starter, and the first sign of trouble, you go to the bullpen. Right now, and these things change, but right now, with 3 weeks to go, I think he's coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs.
Wow.
Tom Karen of Nesson with us here on the Huddle. Sox taking on the Blue Jays. We've got the coverage for you starting at 6:25. TC, when we put on our Facebook page on Friday that Dustin Pedroia wasn't going to play the rest of the year, and it was like 10 negative comments against Pedroia for every positive. And I was just amazed at how quickly people have turned on this guy and they think, oh, we're so much better without him. What do you get that sense in Boston too?
Yeah, a little bit. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. You know, this guy 2 years ago, all you talked about was how he want, you know, you want everybody to play the way Dustin Pedroia plays. Plays hard, works hard, goes after it. I think David Ortiz left and last year's team just kind of left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And he was the leader of that team, you know, and some of the things that happened, whether it was Price going off on Eckersley or the media or whomever, the clubhouse seemed a little bit out of control, and I think he got tainted by that. I really do. Listen, if this guy comes back healthy, he's going to be a hardcore player who's going to grind out every day, And with the established Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and now J.D. Martinez, he would fit really nicely into that lineup. So I think it has gone sideways as far as the image for Dustin Pedroia goes. The only way he wins that back is by playing like he has in the past. And I think, you know, he's a good clubhouse presence. Might not be the guy you want to be the team leader, but when he comes back, he wouldn't be. There's a group of leaders now in this clubhouse.
TC, I'll get you out of here on this. I don't know if Rich and Arnie got anything else, but I saw you were celebrating opening week of football with a Patriots tailgate party. I remember reading a big story about all the Pats players that were into the World Cup. Any big Patriots watch parties in the clubhouse this weekend?
For football?
Yeah, any football watch parties?
Well,
any big football guys?
What killed them is they had the 8 o'clock game Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get after it. That combined with the fact that Drake was playing at the Garden on Saturday, so there was no football. Mookie Betts, everybody was at the Drake show Saturday night, and then they were all out here busy. They had the game on. They had a big fantasy football draft earlier in the week. That's kind of a baseball tradition. So these guys, they're into it. They're really into the college because so many of them played at big universities and colleges, you know, that have football traditions. So Saturdays are a big deal here, but this time of year it's hard because they're grinding.
I'm sure you're going to stay up Friday night, Saturday morning to check out the Bruins at 2:35 in the morning in China, right?
Yeah, absolutely, of course. I mean, I'm not going to miss a moment of that. And shed a tear for Adam McQuaid. I mean, I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't make the trade tomorrow. You got to tell the guy in China that he's got to fly home because he got traded to the Rangers. At least they got it done before the trip.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right, TC, enjoy the game this week, and we'll catch up with you next week, buddy.
All right, guys, thanks.
Take care. TC, Tom Caron, everybody, joining us live from Fenway as the Red Sox are getting ready to play Toronto. All right, when we get back, there was a story about Gronk we have to get to. We'll have that next. You're in the huddle, 101.3, the game.
Now with an extra hour, and you ought to hear him bitch about working a whole three-hour day. The Huddle on 101.3, the game.
Joe in South Hero says, Arnie, we need more verbal cartwheels over the Dolphins' win. I haven't really pumped that up a lot.
No, I haven't. Surprise.
We'll see what happens against the Jets. I think, yeah, they play the Jets this week. So.
The new look Jets.
The new look. Sam Darnold looked phenomenal. We haven't hit on that nearly enough. He was fantastic.
The showdown between the undefeated Jets and the undefeated Finns.
Tell me
the
Cleveland didn't make a mistake now.
And here we go. We talk about how bad the AFC East is, and you got three teams that want to know.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, Buffalo's bad for everybody, though.
Yeah, Buffalo's horrible.
Buffalo's going to mess up the division as far as the final record goes. That's going to happen to them.
And they made the playoffs last year.
I'm saying 1-15 for Buffalo.
Yeah, you know what? It's
maybe 0-16.
Wow.
If it's just going to be Peterman and Josh Allen.
Just makes you wonder why they traded Tyrod Taylor.
What difference does it make?
I mean, they made the playoffs last year with Tyrod Taylor. You're telling me they got that much worse?
What would they be if Brady was their quarterback in the same team? 8-8 would be winning the Super Bowl.
They made the playoffs last year.
I know that, though. But first of all, they lost Richie Incognito off that team last year, didn't that?
Yeah.
Not that that's going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, though. But what? I mean, why do they suddenly? Why are they all of a sudden gone from playoffs to the worst team in the league? Is it Tyrod Taylor?
Well, the quarterback play is shoddy, whereas stable beforehand.
Great defense last year.
They had something.
Opportunity. They forced a lot of turnovers last year. That was really what it was.
And they're that awful now. Unbelievable. Get to the story about Gronk, because I thought this was really interesting.
Yeah, this came out before the game on Sunday. I was listening to the Patriots pregame show, and they were talking about it. Reportedly, there were trade overtures for Rob Gronkowski in the offseason, and Gronk reportedly shot them down because he did not want to play for anyone else. We heard the rumors that Gronk would retire. Later, I'll just play this. Ian Rappaport, NFL insider for the NFL Network, he chronicled it all on Sunday.
I'm told there were, in fact, trade talks surrounding Rob Gronkowski. In fact, they got pretty intense. At one point in the offseason, the thought was that a deal would get done to send Rob Gronkowski from the Patriots. But listen to this. What I am told is that Gronkowski stopped those talks and said that he would rather step away from the game, would rather retire than play for anyone else besides the Patriots, besides Coach Bill Belichick, and besides quarterback Tom Brady. Said he did not want to catch touchdowns from anyone besides Brady.
That didn't surprise me.
What surprises me is that that Kraft would give Belichick the okay to trade Rob Gronkowski.
That I agree with. Yeah. I mean, that
shows, and again, he never goes against Brady. Kraft never goes against Brady. So the fact that he said, you know what? Yeah, trade Rob Gronkowski. How do you think Brady would have felt?
Yeah.
If Brock would have got traded, you know, you got nothing in value right. in return.
You already are wafer thin at wide receiver. Now not you even take point, Gronk yeah. away from, I mean.
Even if they weren't wafer thin, you're taking away his favorite receiver.
I also wondered if that played into why Gronk's contract took so long to get restructured. Because I totally agree. Gronk 100% had the leverage to do what he wanted there. He was talking about retiring. He had it set up that he could retire. He 100% had the power to say, look, if you want to trade me, I just won't play.
Right.
So to scare off other teams from making the move. So that gives him the power as far as negotiations go. But what it does is it takes away his power with the Patriots in negotiations because they know, well, look, you're either playing here or you're playing nowhere. So why are we in a rush to give you more money if we know this is the only place you're going to be?
They're very lucky because they could have really hissed him off. He would have retired. I don't think that would have been beyond the possibility there. And then what would have Brady had left without that guy? Unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. The first thing after the Super Bowl, he doesn't say he's necessarily coming back, and panic hits the streets of Foxborough.
And I see
absolutely.
Brandon Cooks was used right off the bat with the Rams. So he was ran the reverse on the very first play. Yeah. He went and said, let's give him the ball. So you can't take all the weapons away from Brady. That's why I said they did Brady no favors. And really, I'm just shocked that Robert Kraft would do such a thing.
Yeah.
Because he loves Brady so much.
Yes,
and
he does.
Especially because Brady not showed up for OTAs. Did Kraft go, hey, you're not going to show up to OTAs, I'm going to trade Gronk. You're not going to show up to OTAs, I'm going to trade you.
That doesn't sound like a Kraft-Brady relationship, though.
But Gronk didn't show up either.
Right. So
not everybody's punished the same. Like Serena's crying, the men and the women, not everybody's punished the same. Tom Brady can get away with a lot more than, you know, some schmo on the team. Gronk's a schmo.
Again, goes against what Clay Travis had said, that basically everybody gets treated by the same when they're throwing a hissy fit. That's 100%
Jimmy
not
Johnson
case.
Said, I don't treat everybody the same. I treated Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith different than some of the other people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
not
said that.
They're kidding if they don't tell you that.
Of course they are. So that's exactly what happened there. I just surprised that. I wonder who would have taken Gronkowski, where he would have been traded
to. Buffalo.
See, this
could have been
hometown.
This didn't really surprise me all that much because I felt like we had talked about the potential of Gronk being traded all offseason and us simply saying Gronk could just simply retire. And I remember hearing, I don't remember exactly where it was or when it was in the offseason, but I remember someone saying that Gronk had said, I don't want to play unless Tom Brady's playing. And it was maybe talking about Brady retiring. Basically, like, I only want to play with Brady. You know, I don't want to see Brady retire. I only want to play with him. So this story came out as this big thing right before kickoff. But this didn't surprise me one bit. We knew there was a chance that Gronk could get traded, and we knew Gronk had the power to say, look, I'm just not going to play that.
Right. And we believed it. I mean, of all the crazy stuff we throw against the wall regarding the Patriots in the offseason, this is the one that had me concerned because it was 2 minutes out. I mean, we talked more about this than the actual Super Bowl game was Gronk's reaction. He's a beat-up guy who's 60 at the age of 29 or whatever he is. He's got a 60-year-old body. He's been through a million surgeries. And he's got his Super Bowl, and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. So he was in a perfect position to just say, you know what? I've got tons of money, which he apparently saves obsessively. He potentially, as he sees it, had a Hollywood career. Remember we were talking a little bit about that at the time when he made this non-announcement, as it turns out. And there was just all these things in play that made you think if anyone is threatening to retire who might actually do it, would it be him?
You know, I have to think back. I don't know how the years go. What would have happened if Aaron Hernandez wasn't a bad guy? Sooner or later, Gronk would have to go, right? Because you can't have two all everything tight ends.
Or Hernandez would have gone. I mean, it's
He wasn't going to go. He wasn't going to go. They weren't going to get rid of Hernandez.
Really? Yeah, how do you know that?
Because they loved him. And they loved him so much they knew how bad he was, and they still took him. And that's how much they loved him. And they were not good. And you know what? He was talented. I don't think they would have gotten rid of him. Put it this way. Yeah, one had to go, but I think it would have been Gronk. And maybe that would have taken Gronk away from being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well.
Depending on how many years he'd have to go by,
I mean,
Rich.
Hernandez did have a rap sheet before all of the bleep hit the fan.
Yes.
So that makes me wonder. But Gronk had the injury history. Yeah. Couldn't stay on the field. So it would have been interesting to see how it happened. But as it turns out, it wasn't.
Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Corey Coleman, newest addition to the Patriots in that wide receivers room. Can he make any difference as they head towards Jacksonville?
That is next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3. They get.
The huddle is back, and the kitchen is now a mess. 101.3, the game.
Remember now, Burger Bar Trivia Night tonight. We'll see you out there. We'll be watching the Red Sox game, doing trivia, 7:30 to 9:30. All kinds of great stuff, all kinds of fun prizes. Meet you at the Burger Bar tonight at 7:30. What are the specials, by the way?
Oh, well, we'll have Two Roads Brewing Company specials. $2.50 for 16-ounce cans.
Nice.
$4 for drafts. They've got half-price wings as well. It's 7:30 to 9:30. And remember, we will be out at the Burger Bar on Sunday also. Watching the NFL, we'll be watching the best game. The best game on the schedule this week is Patriots-Jaguars. We'll be there. 4:25 is the kickoff. Half-price appetizers, $2 Miller Lite specials, $2 Coors Light specials, and we're giving away a Miller Lite custom keg grill and qualifying people to win Patriots tickets, and we're giving away Burger Bar gift cards.
Nice.
Why would you want to watch? This is the new best place to watch football in the Champlain Valley.
And the president of the Insiders Club. Not insiders, inciters.
That's
Arnie Spanier claims he's going to be there.
Terrorize
and,
you.
Yeah, go
Come
ahead.
On out so I can terrorize you.
Yeah, you are absolutely convinced and have been, and you've said it 100 times.
I may bring a bullhorn.
Not only, great, not only are the Jacksonville Jaguars going to beat the Patriots on Sunday.
Blow them out.
They are going to destroy them. What did you say the score would be, 48-3?
It's not going
to
be 40. It may be more like 47-3.
47-3. It'll be like the Bills game.
They're going to win. I'm going to pick the score on Friday. You have to wait till Friday when I pick the score. But, I will torment all the Patriot fans on Sunday at the Burger Bar.
All right, Patriots fans. We summons you to show up at the Burger Bar on Sunday so we can absolutely hammer Arnie.
I'd like you to know that I did go 2-1 in my picks.
Yes.
So
that's
right,
not bad.
Right now, Rich has a one-game lead.
Yeah, over both of us.
3-0. Arnie 2-1. Me 2-1. The Rams did come through yesterday, although it was close for a while. It was 13-13. Into the third quarter, and then they ran away with it.
I still think you should be docked two games for picking the over-under, going with the under in that 88-point game with New Orleans and Tampa.
You win some, you lose some. I went 2-1. I still was positive for the day. You know what we need to do? We need to find a gambling agency willing to just give us money to bet.
Hypothetical money?
No, real money.
Oh, real money. That's nice. Yeah, I'd love to use my own money.
That would be great.
Time Texas, Matt Patricia's Monday Night Massacre still qualify as the mistake of the day. The mistake of the day was hiring that guy. That was the mistake of the day there. What do you want to say about Corey Coleman? Because the Patriots signed him to a one-year deal, right? But it's not the other. I didn't think they signed the other wide receivers to one-year deals.
You sign a player to a half-a-year deal?
The other players are brought in for like a tryout. Am I wrong on that?
Yes.
Also, I am wrong.
Yes. Not guaranteed money.
I thought they were guaranteeing Coleman's contract. So I am wrong on that. I thought they liked him so much. It's like, come on in, we'll sign you to a one-year deal. The other guys they brought in were all brought in on tryout, whatever that means. You know, just try out for the team.
Do you realize by bringing Coleman in, they now have six players who were first-round picks by other teams?
Yeah, that was impressive.
That wild?
He was a first-round pick, so.
Like what you're referring to, Eric Decker was signed on a one-year, $1.9 million deal, of which he only got $75,000 as a signing. He did not make the team.
Tough sport. I'm not talking about Eric Decker, though. I'm talking about, like, the ones that they just signed, like, within the week.
Kenyon Barner and stuff?
Yeah, those guys. They weren't brought in on one-year contracts. They were just brought in the trial for the team, right?
No, Kenyon Barner's been signed to the 53-man roster.
Then I don't know what the hell I'm talking about then. So there you go. So they give him a one-year deal. We'll see if he works out. I think it's going to be good. So I think Coleman's going to be – plus he played at Barrow, like I said, so he knows many offensive sets.
Yeah, but, I mean, in a receiving-starved atmosphere like Buffalo, for him to not make the team –
Cleveland either.
I hope you're right. I mean, to get cut by Cleveland and especially Buffalo, 13th pick overall?
You got to think about quitting football after that happens to you.
Well, that's the thing. And the Patriots have done this. They did it with Dorsett. They did it with Patterson. They did it with Danny Shelton this year, kind of to re-energize the career category. Bring them in. Get them fired up. Tell them they're hanging off the side of a cliff, and if it doesn't happen here, you're done, and see how it works.
Arnie, he signed a one-year, $630,000 contract. If he gets cut tomorrow, I don't know that he he might get, I want to say he gets at 592,000 if he got cut tomorrow.
No, right, but that's what I'm trying to say. Those other guys didn't. That's why they like him a little bit more.
But no, I think they all do. But as far as Coleman goes, I'm in the rich camp here. Yeah. If you can't make Cleveland and you can't make Buffalo, and the biggest criticism on him with the Bills was he couldn't figure out the offense. If you can't figure out the Bills offense when you've had when you've had a couple of weeks in the system to learn it, how do I trust you're going to make the, learn the Patriots offense on the fly and be able to contribute? I'm not buying it. The only thing I could see happening is, like Philip Dorsett, he takes the whole year to get acclimated. And he ends up this season with 12 catches or something and is a non-factor. But he takes all of this year and all of the offseason, and maybe they re-sign him next year and he comes back as a guy who next year will be only 25 years old, who's a first-round talent, who maybe they have found something in. But he's a guy who you need to exhibit patience with. If he can't learn the offense, then he's going to need more than 3 weeks to make an impact.
Do you think they go to Tom Brady with guys like Britt and like Jordan Matthews and like even Malcolm Mitchell, like Eric Decker, a guy like Chad Hansen who comes in and in the blink of an eye he's gone, and Brady says, I don't feel it. Do you think he influences? I mean, this has been an absolute revolving door.
I think they take his opinion. They'll say, how's it feel? How's the connection? How do you... You know, how's the feel between you and the new guy? And Brady will give his opinion. Might say, get him the hell out of here. He doesn't even know the...
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's been a complete revolving door. And it seems like every day they're signing a new wide receiver.
I do think Brady, though, I think he's so pro-player, and I think he so understands how volatile the NFL is. I don't see him being the guy who ends people's careers or kicks them out of organizations or, you know, cost them a chance to get it to keep a job. I think he largely wants to stay out of that stuff.
But I mean, you talk about a cutthroat profession. Riley McCarron. I was really anxious. Remember we were talking about what are you looking for in weeks 3 and 4 of the preseason? I think both weeks I said Riley McCarron. This guy looks like he's got something. He fumbles a punt and bam, he's gone the next day.
Tom Fairtire, text line, in fairness to Coleman, I have no idea what the Bills are doing on offense either. A lot of talent there. It might work out. That's Jake and Williston. He was playing basketball last night.
Did he make any shots?
No, he's not very good.
Yeah.
He's not very good at all. I don't think
but he did go to Harvard Online.
He did go to Harvard Online, but I don't think I've ever seen him make a basket in all the years we've been playing.
He's more of a passer.
Yeah. 4 years. He's never made a bucket.
He sets you up for glory.
I'm sure he does.
How many points did you score last night, Arnie?
Just one three-pointer.
One three.
I only took like two shots.
Have you ever made a two-point basket in your career at the Williston Central School?
I don't think so.
Not one.
I don't think so.
Do you ever go in?
I go for the glory. I go for the glory, Rich.
You just stand there and wait for the pass.
You were 1 for 2.
1 for 2.
I
missed a two-pointer. I did miss an easy one.
How many shots? How many games did you play?
4.
You got 3 shots in four games?
Four games.
Are you saying it's discriminatory they wouldn't pass to the senior citizens
that's exactly
on the
what
court?
I'm saying. That's why I got mad yesterday. I'm going to punch somebody in the face.
So you took how many shots total over four games?
3.
3 shots.
Yeah. They won't pass me the ball.
So you went games without ever taking a single shot.
Yeah.
What was the point of you being on the floor?
I did block a couple of shots.
What'd they do, run into you and fall down?
Well, we had a little guy that was playing, and I stuffed him. And I yelled, I go, not this year, little man!
Did you
not
really say
year.
That?
I did say
and
that.
And what was his reaction?
He didn't like it.
Oh, go figure. No!
All right, let's get to our last story, Sandy, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 The Game.
Local guys talking sports. The huddle is on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Brady, let's get to the Red Sox lineup. What's going on is getting ready to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. By the way, the second T you're not supposed to pronounce.
Toronto?
Toronto is how you're supposed to say it, but I always said Toronto.
Boy, they are. Talk about a team just playing it out at this point. And I'll tell you what, though, Blue Jays, 3-4 years from now, look out. They are going to be very good.
Still going to need some pitching, though.
Well, yeah, they will. They got a lot of kids.
You wanted to say something, Rich?
You wanted to say something?
I thought you were done.
They're going to be good.
That's all after all that?
No, I said a lot of other things, but the horns blasted me out.
The Blue Jays are 13 games under. They're 65-78. The Red Sox are 98-46. Pitching matchup, Ryan Barucki, the lefty, 3-4 with a 4.39 against Chris Sale. 12-4 with a 1.97. It is Happy Sale Day. Once again, he comes back, expected to throw 2 innings, 440 pitches today. Nathan Eovaldi will be the guy in relief of him. Lourdes Gurriel is at shortstop. He leads off, the brother of Yuli Gurriel of the Astros. Devin Travis is at second. Justin Smoke is at first. Kendrys Morales is the DH with 21 homers. Randall Grichuk is in right, also 21 homers. Kevin Pillar, the Gold Glove winner, is in center field, hitting .247. Teoscar Hernandez is in left. Aledmys Diaz, the power-hitting infielder, is at third, 17 homers. And Danny Jansen is the catcher. He hits ninth. For the Sox, Mookie Betts is in right. Andrew Benintendi in left. J.D. Martinez at DH. Xander Bogaerts at short. Steve Pierce is at first. Ian Kinsler's at second. Eduardo Nunez at third. Sandy Leone is the catcher. Jackie Bradley rounds out the lineup. He is in center.
All right, let me get to the last story. Standing Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens when he was in college and he won the Heisman Trophy. There was one play where he jumped over a defender. You've ever seen that where somebody jumps over the defender. Well, he made that into a chain and a pendant. First of all, the chain is 285 grams of gold, one-of-a-kind Cuban link that's only made by Stax Custom. I'm assuming it's very swanky. The pendant is 257 grams of gold, 25 carats, and something called quality stone. I don't even know what the hell it does. The whopping price on this one? $100,000 for the chain and pendant.
Doesn't sound so bad for a first-round pick.
I thought you were going to say millions.
$100,000 for a chain?
For
what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, but he's jumping over somebody. Come on, everybody can tell him how great he is.
This is it. I'm going to hold it up to you, Rich. Do you like that? It's like the Heisman Trophy.
What the hell? Who could put that around you?
Yeah, it's like a Heisman Trophy pose.
Did you see Eduardo Nunez a couple weeks ago had a very fancy necklace that he wore, and he swung, and it broke, and all of the diamonds broke off around home plate. And
charge the field, get that.
The field crew had to go out and try to find every individual diamond between innings.
Good luck to that.
I'd love to be in that field crew.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. We seem to be missing a couple of them.
It's like when Sammy Sosa's bat broke open and tennis balls came. Unbelievable, man. I love that. All right, Burger Bar tonight. 7:30 to 9:30, trivia. Be out there. Fabulous specials, fabulous prizes. And Sunday, tell everybody about the watch party.
Sunday we'll be there, too. We'll be watching the Patriots game. We'll be watching all the NFL games. The 4 o'clock time slot, we'll be there. They've got the NFL Sunday ticket. Never miss a play. Never miss a minute of the action. It's the only place in the Champlain Valley to watch football with us this Sunday. We'll be giving away qualifiers for Patriots tickets. We'll have Miller Lite specials, Labatt Blue specials. They'll have half-price wings, half-price apps. It's going to be great at the Burger Bar, and we're giving away that Miller Lite, the grill/cooler.
All right, we're going to wrap up for intern, whoever, Rich and Brady. I'm Arnie. This is 101.3 The Game.